Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati, WKRP. You ever get a song in your head in the morning and you can't stop singing it? So I want you to have a great reminisce. And when you're not thinking of Action Radio, which is, of course, my constant preoccupation, just have a little tribute to our favorite radio show that was on TV, WKRP in Cincinnati. And radio is fascinating. Radio, the whole history of radio, just the impact it's had on our lives, the AM, you know, then to FM and all the stuff that's going now, internet. And of course, from talk radio to action radio, the natural evolution from an obsolete form to a current one that actually has a citizen legislature. So I know that sounds really arrogant. I can't help it. But that's my prediction and my hope that talk radio moves to action radio as a replacement, just like FM has replaced so much of AM radio. Nothing wrong with AM radio. It's still here. You know, I figure talk radio is going to be the same way. Nothing wrong with talk radio. Talk radio is great. I just think that just as FM took over AM for the most part, I think action radio will gradually replace talk radio because the younger folks are going to want to get more involved. They're going to want the interaction. They're going to want to have a say. And they're going to want to actually get involved in, you know, more so than their parents and grandparents in civic action with actual bills, as opposed to letters, emails, votes, and campaign contributions and, you know, raising, complaining to an art form, which is what most of talk radio is concerned with right now. Okay, so if we're going to take some action, let's take some serious action here. And the best thing to do right now, I think, the number one issue, the issue that dominates all other issues, the issue that's not being reported, the issue that's not being covered on the news, is everybody all falls all over themselves to congratulate Elon Musk for saving their butts when we could have saved ourselves very simply, is the fact that, and I'll explain that in a minute, but the simple fact is that the biggest issue right now is why the GOP, the grand old party, the gelding old party, as I call them, has not replaced the fraudulent Brandon electors with Trump electors, which they could have done starting December 15th of 2020. So there's a new bill that Ron DeSantis just signed for like the election police. I've got the Breitbart article. I just heard about it, you know, maybe 10 minutes before airtime. And so I'll take a look at that. I mean, that's good. It's great. You know, but the real issue, and this is something that Trump should have been talking about on his on all of his Save America rallies. If you want to save America, the way you save America is very simple. The GOP could have saved America starting back in 2020. Starting December 15th with the very first certification of the Trump electors. And we knew the vote fraud. I mean, everybody knew the vote fraud right away. It was obvious. It was so obvious that, you know, when the Republicans were blocked out and kicked out and not allowed to observe and the cardboard went up and the suitcases full of ballots came out and the videos of the, you know, the same Biden ballots being recorded over and over and over, being counted over and over, and the truckloads of fake ballots coming in, the truckload of mail order ballots. That's probably more accurate, mail order ballots. I guess I'm calling that mail order ballots, you know, coming in. And all the, you know, and from the fake nursing home ballots to the millions of people that had their vote stolen and the people vote for them, you know, including Marjorie Taylor Greene's husband, all these folks, you know, I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. We all know it. Okay. But that's not good enough. See, the problem is the GOP geldings, you know, who are part of the deep state. We went over the count yesterday. There's like maybe six senators and about 140 at the most part, and they are Republicans, all Republicans in the House, that actually voted against vote fraud. You know, so if you voted for Brandon, you voted for vote fraud. If you voted against Brandon, you voted against vote fraud. I mean, those are your choices. That's it. That's the whole enchilada, folks. That's all she wrote. That's all you get. And so it is a fascinating thing to watch the news now and the geldings now. Well, we're going to get them in 2020. What's it, 2022? We're going to get them in 2022. The Republican philosophy is, don't worry how much we screwed up in the past. We're going to change it next time. And of course they don't, right? They don't change a thing. So once again, voting for a Republican under the current state of the party is akin to insanity because they're going to do exactly the same thing they always do. Mitch McConnell is the expert at this. you know, Mitch McConnell is the greatest Democrat ever because he takes the Republican Party and completely sabotages them. He's the one that gave the talk. He's the one that, you know, below decks when the Trump supporters in January 6th were walking around taking selfies beside famous statues, you know, what the Democrats call an insurrection, which we would call a tour. Okay. A walk around, you know, what we would call the Price is Right Capitol Hill invitation, what the Democrats call an insurrection. We know what happened. We know exactly what happened. But the thing is, the Geldings won't do anything about it. So my question is there any point in voting for a Gelding? At this particular point, if the party as a whole refuses to put in the proper Trump electors, when they certainly can, and instead they're just sitting there going, well, we'll get a majority in the House and we'll get a majority in the Senate. Okay, great. What are you going to do with it? Should you do anything with it? You're not going to do it. You're not doing anything now. See, if the Democrats were in this position, they would be screaming every single day, vote fraud, vote fraud, vote fraud. You know, they'd be saying, well, these are the real electors. They'd be doing this every single day. And see, the Geldings need to take lessons from the Democrats. You want to know how to fight? Watch a Democrat. Watch them do what they do. That's how you fight. Okay. But the Geldings don't do that. Geldings don't know how to fight because they're useless. That's what Geldings are, useless. That's why Geldings, you know, haul carts and stallions run wild, you know, and lead entire, you know, herds of horses. That's the difference between Geldings and stallions. Okay. So if you want a stallion Republican Party, you got to elect them. And the only real stallions, like I say, are the women, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. Bobert, and there's a couple of dudes in there too, Jim Jordan, my own congressman here, Matt Gaetz, Macaulay Cawthorn, and a few other folks. But the too few, there are not enough of them. Obviously, there aren't enough of them because if there were enough of them, well, they wouldn't be the Gelding old party. They'd actually be a real party. So this is where we stand right now. It is a fascinating situation, and so we've got an hour to talk about this. We've got Shelby coming at the top of the hour, top of the next hour with our Cruise and Travel Report. We've got Josie at the bottom of the next hour with the Latino Report. And, of course, the big thing is with Shelby, I'm going to ask her about the masks and how the overturn of the mandate, really the overturn of the CDC authority, how that's going to affect the whole cruise ship industry. Because the CDC never had the authority to direct the cruise ship industry. They're not the center for, you know, cruise ship direct control. They're not. You know, neither are they, you know, landlord-tenant boards, you know, telling people they can't evict people during the COVID crisis that they created, which would have been over if the CDC had just, you know, shut up and, you know, collected their salaries and done what most government employees should do, which is just take your money and shut the hell up and wait for your retirement. I mean, that's, you know, that's the best use of government employees, most of which should be fired anyway. So I found a gold mine. I mean, I really did find a gold mine. All right. So there's two articles, and we're going to go over one of those right now, and then we're going to go over the other one. But this to me is absolutely fascinating. And this is why you got to read the opposition press. You got to read the fake press, the leftist press, to see what they do, because they have some really good sources. I mean, they uncover some really nice stuff, and they've basically done my job for me. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. This leftist rag called The Pulse, and we're going to start there. And because what they have actually done, and this is where it gets wild. Anybody wants to call me too, 215-383-3832. If you want to put a comment on live chat, you know, feel free to do that too. I'm not going to write what's on your mind because people haven't been chatting the last you know, couple of weeks. So yeah, just go ahead, start the comments yourself. So go to live chat at the bottom of your broadcast page, and we go. So the Trump fake electors, here's the full list. Now, this is by, it's kind of hard to read. It's in yellow on a white background. Kira Lerner, K-I-R-A-L-E-R-N-E-R, January 31st, 2022. So that's this year. And this is what I call the lies on top of the lies on top of the lies, because this lie is designed to cover the previous lies about January 6th, and tomorrow's lies, you know, are designed to cover today's lies. Today's lies are designed to cover yesterday's lies. And this cycle goes on and on and on. That's what the whole select committee on January 6th, they're select because they're all the marked communists on the Democrat Party and what I call what I used to call rhino Republicans, which are now called transgender Democrats. And so they might as well just go all the way. You know, they've already done the surgery. They've already had their gonads removed. They just need to make the full transformation to Marxist Democrats, and they'd be all set. Particularly those two, what's his name? Zinger, whoever it is, the guy. And, of course, Lynn Cheney. So if they're going to be Democrats, they might as well, you know, stop being transgender Democrats. Just go all the way. Just completely remove your soul, you know, your love for this country and everything else that you stood by, you know, when you were supposedly Republicans, and just make the full transition, you know, stop being a transgender Democrat, just go all the way, be a full Democrat. Okay. So if you want to have some fun, start using the term for Republicans in name only, rhinos, call them transgender Democrats. I mean, we might as well enjoy ourselves you know, and have some fun with this, because that's what sarcasm is all about. Making fun of your opposition is the best way to completely trounce them. So I found this article in The Pulse, and this is from, again, January 31st, 2022. And of course, this is a year later, right? So why are they publishing a list of Trump's fake electors in January of 2022? You would think that in January of 2021, when they inaugurated the fraud, when they inaugurated Brandon, you would think that would have been over with. And that, you know, everybody would have accepted it. It's like, they won. They stole the election. They got away with it. Look, they put Brandon in the White House. Hey. So why are they still lying? Why are they still lying? Why did they have to lie a year later and publish the electors, Trump's electors? That's a really good question. I don't know the answer. We'll have to ask a Marxist Democrat. Why are you still lying about vote fraud? Is it because you know it's vote fraud? You know, and you have to perpetuate the lie? And who are they trying to convince? Are they trying to convince themselves that the vote fraud was okay? Are they trying to convince themselves that the vote fraud didn't happen? Who exactly are they trying to convince here? You know, this is what makes this all so fascinating to me, all right? Anyway, so let's continue on. Trump's fake electors. The article, they put, oh, here's the, and this is in this is under the category of defending democracy, okay? First of all, we're a republic. So the best thing to do is get rid of democracy and go into a republic. A republic, by definition, is a constitution, a bill of rights, rules of evidence, due process, a limited budget, limited authority, delegated powers, a separation of powers, federalism. That's what defines a republic. So all those people that like those things, you're actually in favor of a republic. If you like majority rule, trampling of individual rights because if the majority says you don't have rights, you don't have them. Okay. If you believe in your income being taken away by 51% of the population because you happen to be in the higher 49% of the population and the 51% can vote away your income, if you believe in that, you believe in democracy. It's very simple. That's what democracy is, majority rule. Okay. No principles, no established rules, no guarantees of rights. Democracy is none of those things. So all you people talking about democracy, you either A, don't know what you're talking about, or B, want the majority to take everything from the minority. I mean, that's just the way it works, okay? There's no other way to explain it. I can't explain it. That's why I'm for a republic, which does not make me a Republican. I unregistered from the geldings, you know, right after the November 3rd election when they didn't do what they're supposed to do, which was properly certify the election. So let's get to this article here. The 84 people who signed bogus documents. You mean real documents? See, and here's the key to this whole thing. This is the part that you really, 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 really need to understand. The Brandon electors are a result of massive illegal vote fraud. They don't count. They aren't real. So the entire Brandon occupation of the White House stands on the lie that the Brandon electors really are real, and they're not. That's the big lie. And the Democrats all know it. That's why they have to – this is why I think – well, actually, now that I think about it, this is why they have to keep lying every day. Because if Americans knew and realized, and if the geldings actually published this every day and held a press conference on this every day and did what they were supposed to do every day and say that vote fraud proves that the Brandon electors are a fraud and should be replaced by the Trump electors, he'd be out tomorrow. Maybe today. Who knows? But the geldings won't do that. Why? Because the geldings – like Brandon more than they like Trump. In fact, they hate Trump more than they like Brandon. For some reason, they are wedded to their privilege, their established class, their political buddies, their perks, their money, their benefits, their retirement, all the things that they're not entitled to. All the things that they voted for themselves, all the privileges, all the extras, all the, you know, from the free lunches, the free haircuts, the whatever else they get for free, the franc, which is the stamp, you know, all that mail that you get in campaigns, that's all free, by the way, okay? Courtesy of you, the taxpayer. So, yeah. So all that stuff they get, they were willing to trade that for a country where a president put America first. I want you to think about that next time you think about how wonderful it is to be a Republican. And anybody that thinks that I don't criticize the Republican, I'm not criticizing conservatives. Bear in mind, there's a big difference between conservatives and the Republican Party. I'm criticizing the Republican Party. So if you're a conservative in the Republican Party, you're in the wrong place. You need to be an independent. If you're an independent in the Republican Party, you really need to get out. In fact, I would get rid of the entire party. Oh, but Greg, what's going to happen in the election? The Democrats will win. Okay, well, they've already won. It doesn't matter because the Geldings aren't going to do anything. The Geldings are supporting the Brandon insurrection with a fake person, a complete moron. They'd rather have a complete moron in the White House than President Trump. Think about that. And you tell me, give me one good reason why I should be a Republican again. Go ahead, I dare you. 215-383-3832. Live chat. Call me on the Skype line. I'll see it after the show and get it tomorrow. Okay? Anyway. So let's talk about the real Trump electors as opposed to the Brandon electors, which are fake. So I have to really do this. Now, here's where it gets funny. Let me just read this article just to get us back on track here. The 84 people who signed bogus documents, in other words, the 84 Trump electors signed genuine documents, claiming that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, which he did, include dozens of local Republican Party leaders, normally known as electors, okay? Seven current candidates for public office, eight current office holders. This is like the swell days of Christmas. Local Republican leaders, seven current candidates, eight current office holders, and five previous state and federal official office holders. This is what happens when you give me a radio show. I mean, it just all holds, you know, there's no, I don't have a filter. I just don't. It's live radio. What am I going to say next? You think you know what I'm going to say next? You don't know what I'm going to say next because I don't know what I'm going to say next. This is stream of consciousness radio. All right. Next paragraph. Groups from Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, New Mexico, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, which we know as the battleground states, you know, the ones before the Trump electors. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yep, that's it. Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, New Mexico, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. All allegedly sent lists. No, it's not allegedly at all. They did send lists. In fact, I know they sent lists because in the next article, I found, this is the goldmine. This is the goldmine that I found. I found the actual certificates. This liberal, wacko, leftist organization did a FOIA, an F-O-I-A, a Freedom of Information Act request to actually see the documents of the Trump electors. You idiots. You just gave me the goldmine. All right. This is why I love dealing with the left because they're so stupid. They're so stupid, they don't realize what they're doing. And so this group has paid a whole lot of money to create a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act request, and they actually published the Trump documents, the Trump electors. And I've got them. You've got them too. Just go to the Action Radio Group Facebook page. That's where they are. You know, anybody can read these. This is public information. It was public anyway, but it should have been public anyway. So what this proves is that the Republicans, the Geldings, have the same access to these documents as anybody else does, and they have for about a year now. Okay, and so the Trump electors are known. So the Geldings could have picked up these certificates anytime, held a press conference every day, and said these are the real electors because the Brandon electors are only there because of vote fraud. That's how you turn this over. Are they going to do it? No, because they'd rather have Brandon than Trump. And as long as the Republicans would rather have Brandon than Trump, I will never, never be a Republican again. Just that simple. You don't deserve my vote. You don't deserve my participation. You certainly don't deserve my name on your voter registration, GOP Geldings. All right, back to the article. Groups from. Now, these aren't groups. These are actual Trump electors. So once you got to translate this article because it was written by leftists. Okay. So electors from Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, New Mexico, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, the battleground states, all sent lists of the so-called alternate electors, sent lists of genuine Trump electors. God, I got to do a lot of translating here. To the National Archives after the 2020 election. Fraud election. The slate of, they say fake, I'm just going to say the slate of true Trump electors includes Lou Barletta and Charlie Garau, both candidates for governor in Pennsylvania. Well, there's a, oh no, candidates for governor. we're not talking criminals here. We're not talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter or Antifa rioters. We're talking about candidates for governor. What makes them fake? They're Republicans. They're candidates for governor. What do you think you get the electors from? Electors are party regulars. Electors are party officials. Electors are you know, big donors. You know, people get to be electors because of loyalty and office. They don't get to be electors because they're criminals or because they're horrible people or they do, you know, really terrible stuff. No, the electors are usually pretty decent people, right? But they're not fake at all. Anyway, so this is both candidates, governor of Pennsylvania, Burt Jones, a candidate for lieutenant governor in Georgia, James Lamon, L-A-M-O-N, a candidate for U.S. Senate from Arizona, and candidates for state legislative seats. So we're talking about legitimate candidates for office. They're calling fakes. Okay. The group also includes 8 current office holders. Okay, so these are people that are already duly elected, right? Well, gee, they must be pretty evil too. Jake Hoffman, Burt Jones, Stanley Grote, Amy Facinello, Robert Spindle Jr., Sam DeMarco III, Joseph Farrow, Kelly Ruh, that's R-U-H. So these folks are here. And we're talking Arizona. All right. I believe this is Arizona. The groups in Arizona. All right. These are just the general people. They've got different states represented here. In addition to the chair, former chair or co-chair of the state Republican Party in all 7 states, the group includes people for whom political controversy and investigations are nothing new. This is where it gets funny. Michael Ward of Arizona has been accused of spitting in the eye of a former campaign volunteer for his wife, Kelly Ward. He was probably talking to her. And you know what happens when you talk? Sometimes you spit a little bit. I bet you that's what happened. But because I've never heard about this case. Here's another one. Tom Carroll of Pennsylvania was accused by a black colleague of leaving a stuffed monkey on her desk in a racist act while he was serving as an assistant district attorney. Has anybody ever heard that case? That sounds like a setup to me. No person in their right mind would leave a stuffed monkey on anybody's desk, let alone a black person's desk. So this looks like this is what we would call a Jesse Smollett news story. Okay, this is a fake hate crime. It's like the noose in that NASCAR driver's garage. Yeah, right. The times when Clinton was burning down churches and blaming, white conservatives. We know how this works, right? Or when black activists will put, KKK on a black church and blame it on white conservatives. This is fake stuff that happens all the time. All right. Here's another one. Gloria K. Goodwin of Georgia has been accused of stalking. Gloria? Has been accused of stalking after allegedly attempting to interfere in a citizen effort to obtain signatures for a recall election petition. See, that's so easily construed. I really like to know what the case was. What do you mean? How do you attempt to interfere? How do you attempt to interfere? You either interfere or you don't, right? So you attempt to interfere in a effort to obtain signatures. You can't stop people from collecting signatures unless you're right there stealing their pen. Anyway, the point is, the Justice Department has announced that it is, quote, investigating the attempt by the false electors to subvert the election. Let me rephrase that in incorrect terminology. The Justice Department has announced that it is maintaining the deep state position by refusing to even investigate vote fraud so as not to damage the deep state effort to maintain fraudulent Biden electors. How'd I do? Does that sound about right? Okay. So we've got the Select Committee on January 6th. But here's what I find interesting. I'm going to go over this a little bit for you here. Some of these people are fascinating, and these are they're talking. Let me see. Well, actually, I can read some of it. The Congressional Select Committee on January also announced that it has subpoenaed 14 of the, quote, counterfeit electors. Oh, this should be interesting. Who it believes have information about how they met and who was behind the scheme, according to the committee chairperson, Benny G. Johnson, the Mississippi Marxist racist. From Mississippi. Each of the 14 served as chair or secretary on the state slates of fake electors. So funny. I routinely call Democrats racist because the whole party is racist, because they've been racist ever since slavery. Democrats are the party of slavery. Democrats are the party of segregation. Democrats are the party of trying to stop the Civil Rights Act. Democrats are the party of modern day privilege racism. It's the same thing. The Democrats haven't changed. All right. So that's why I call it that. So here's what's going on. Now, this is interesting. Now think about this. Okay. So I need help with this question. Why would the January 6th, which is basically the election cover-up committee, which is the deep state fraudulent cover-up committee, be subpoenaing 14 Trump electors? Now, they call them counterfeit. Why would they do that? If they don't believe these people have any claim, if they think that their Brandon electors are perfectly valid, why are they calling Trump electors before this fake January 6th committee? They need to make liars out of them. Why did they put Marjorie Taylor Greene through a trial to try and get her off the ballot? Because she called the election fraud. And we're going to talk about her probably in the third hour. Her attorneys sucked. her best defense was to prove the vote fraud. She could have put all the evidence out there in the trial. And said, of course, I believe that Brandon stole the election. And here's why. And all her attorneys said was, why do you believe that? That's it. Open the door. If Marjorie Taylor Greene's attorney had said, why do you believe the election was stolen? That's all he had to say. And everything would have changed. Well, here's the evidence. May I present? the films, the Dinesh D'Souza, the electors, the hearings from Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, the affidavits, dropped them all, copies of the affidavits. They could have done all that kind of stuff. They didn't do it. Why? Because they're geldings. Because they want Brandon. And they want to screw over Marjorie Taylor Greene, a real patriot, in favor of their deep state Brandon insurrection. Okay, so not only so you had both lawyers, you had both the attacking lawyer who represented the leftist groups and the allegedly Republican lawyer allegedly defending Marjorie Taylor Greene, both attacking her, you know, one by omission and one by just direct attack to try and get her off the ballot. Isn't it fascinating? I mean, the Republicans' worst enemy is the Republican Party when you think about it. Anyway, so that's my question. Why is the January 6th committee, you know, calling Trump electors before them? And the only answer I can think of is because they want to keep proving they have to keep reinforcing their lie that Brandon's actually the president when we all know he isn't. This doesn't make too much fun. When you have truth on your side, you know, it's amazingly powerful. See, these people know that they don't have the truth on their side. They know that they're lying. And when you're lying, every day you have to come up with a new set of lies. And this is why this is so fascinating. All right. According to the recent reports, this is back to the fake article, Trump's then-attorney Rudy Giuliani led a scheme by submitting the slates of alternative electors. That's not a scheme. That's called electors, you know, submitting the genuine electors that weren't elected by vote fraud. So really, Giuliani, I got to get him on the show. I really need to talk to him about this. So the slates of alternative, they weren't alternative electors. They were the Trump electors. So here's what happened. Trump won the election. Trump won the election by a whole bunch of electoral votes. The votes, the Trump electors, the non-vote fraud Brandon electors, amount to 84. Okay, so I'm going to go over this right now. This is probably the National Archives too. I'll get that in a second. Let me just finish this fraud article here. So it says Rudy Giuliani led the scheme, they say, by submitting the slates of alternate electors to the National Archives. So the National Archives has all the genuine certificates, and I'm going to go over them in a little bit. In March 20 of 2021, D.C.-based watchdog group American Oversight made public the documents. Where do you think I got them from? Thanks, left. You guys are so great sometimes. Which received in response to a public records request, otherwise known as a Freedom of Information Act request, or a FOIA, for those that use weird words that nobody else understands. Then the article says, attorneys general from the seven states, those are the battleground states, that's where all the vote fraud occurred, right, involved in the scheme, as they say, are investigating whether to bring charges against the Trump backers who participated. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has said there is absolutely enough evidence to charge the false electors with election fraud. See, this is their defense. Okay, so this is the plan. This is why Marjorie Taylor Greene was on the stand Friday. This is why they have they're trying to get her off the ballot. This is the consistent and constant reinforcement of the lie that Brandon won. So in other words, the way they're going to go after the Trump electors, because they're still out there, they're still perfectly viable. Okay, and this is the whole point of the show today. The Trump electors can be put in place and certified at any time if the geldings would stop being geldings and actually do their job as a party. And if they don't do it, there's no reason to vote for them in 2022. There just isn't. Why? What do you get? They're still going to maintain Brandon, knowing that they can change that, and the fact that not a single journalist with enough, public popularity to ask that question. Peter Ducey should ask that. Hey, Peter, you want to earn your position of lifetime fame and fortune? Ask the Republicans why they won't put forward the Trump electors, knowing that the Brandon electors are a result of vote fraud. Go ahead, Peter Ducey. I just gave you a gold mine. I just gave you fame. I gave you your next book. Okay, maybe I should write it. But that's it. That's all, you know, someone like him could do that because he's got the public attention. Tucker Carlson could do it. You know, if I could get Tucker Carlson on this show, anybody who knows him, you know, get in touch with him and say, look, Tucker, dude, you know, you want a real investigation? Ask the geldings why they're not putting forward the Trump electors. Ask the Marxist Democrats why they're continually trying to subvert them. So what they're trying to do is say that the Trump electors are guilty of vote fraud. Think about that, all right? So the people who are guilty of vote fraud are saying that the people who are the genuine electors are guilty of vote fraud. That's like a bank robber saying that the bank customers are guilty of bank robbery. Yeah, that's like saying the sober drivers are guilty of drunk driving, you know, said by a drunk driver. You know, that's like, and you can go through any list of crimes. It's like a gangbanger saying that the general public is a gang and we're the only ones who aren't. You know, so this is how twisted this is. This is Orwellian. This is the Orwell party. All right. So the Democrat, I think I should start, it's hard to say Orwell. I wish he had an easier name. This is the Democrat 1984 Orwell party saying that the Trump electors, which they haven't forgotten, that you already have, you've forgotten the Trump electors. You know, most people don't think about them, but the Democrats do. Because the Democrats knew that the Trump electors could put them all in jail for vote fraud. They know that. That's why they have to put them in jail first. Why do you think the January 6th people are in jail? Because they're the ones that can put all the Democrats and Republicans who are guilty of vote fraud in jail. You know, they got to shut them up. They're political prisoners. They're political prisoners of the coup. Okay? Is this making sense to anybody yet? At least I hope so. But this is why they're in jail, to shut them up. Now, we had Stuart Rhodes, you know, a couple of times on the show. Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the Oath Keepers, who managed to call Jonathan Mosley. Jonathan Mosley, our legal reporter, was nice enough to put the call on a conference with our show here at Action Radio. So we were able to talk to Stuart Rhodes directly in an Oklahoma federal prison. You think any other show in the country did that? Any other show in the world did that? No. It happened here on Action Radio. Why? Because I have the best people in the country working with me. It's very simple. That's why we can do what we do. So I need to get Rudy Giuliani on the show. I need to find out about the Trump electors and where they are and what's going on. God forbid anything would happen to them. This is my other concern, you know, because Hillary's still out there. And you know what happens to people that get in her way, okay? So Trump electors, carry a gun. Be very careful. You know, just preserve yourselves. Do whatever it takes to – I mean, you're the people I really need to stay safe because you're the folks that can actually fix this. All right. So let's find out. So that's what's happening. So the Trump electors, the real electors, the electors that prove the Brandon fraud, are going to try and charge them with election fraud, so that they don't actually correct the election fraud of the Brandon electors, and the deep state. Does that make sense? Has everybody got that? All right, let me take a break before I go into some of the folks. I've got the list right here of who they are, and then we'll go into the certificates. If I don't get to the certificates this hour, I'll get to it in the third hour. I need a break. I'll be right back. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16 ounce glass to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code WYL to the discount code window at checkout. That's W-Y-L. W-Y-L comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news! Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider,
to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that no one's asked the Geldings, you know, why they haven't put forward the Trump electors. I mean, the Democrats are putting them forward as criminals, you know, but the GOP isn't doing it, you know. And it seems to me that, like I say, they keep asking for your vote. They're going to change something the next time around. But if they don't change this, I guarantee you they're not going to change anything if they have the majority. They will reverse, you know, some of the policies. But the fact is they're not going to arrest the people that stole the election because it includes a lot of them. You know, Mitch McConnell, Mike Pence, you know, the other traitors that are currently serving in the Gelding old party. And that's the problem. You know, they're not asking. No one, and there's no, even the conservative journalists aren't asking the question. I think the only person asking this right now is me. You know, but that's why you listen to Action Radio, because we're going to be, we are, as always, at least 6 months to a year ahead of the news. And so that's what we try to do here. All right. So the way that this works, there are 84 Trump electors that were fraudulently discounted by the GOP, by Mike Pence, by Mitch McConnell, who told the senators not to object to the count, and they put forward the fraudulent Brandon electors. And we know they're fraudulent because of the vote fraud. So none of those electors count, all right, because they're purely vote fraud. And so if you discount the Brandon vote fraud electors, there are 84 Trump electors that should have been certified December 15th, January 6th, anytime after January 6th, yesterday. You know, that should have been certified. So 84 changes what they're calling the official results. So the fraud results, the fraud vote count, the electoral vote count is Brandon 306, Trump 232. That is the fraud count. That is the fraud count when you take 84 Trump electors and make them fake Brandon electors, you know, who are put there by vote fraud. Okay, now, if you change the numbers around, you know, and you make those 84 Trump electors, okay, you get a very different total. You get Brandon 222, Trump 316. So the actual vote count, the actual electoral vote count using genuine Trump electors that were not put there by vote fraud is Trump 316, Brandon 222. Now, with that kind of vote count, Brandon can't stay in the White House. You can't stay in the White House with 222 electoral votes. You can only stay there with 270 or above. Trump has 316. So why is Brandon still in the White House? Why hasn't this been changed? You know, I mean, these Trump electors have already been certified. I just found the documents. I mean, I knew they were. I just didn't have the documents. Just because I didn't have the documents doesn't mean it wasn't done, you know, back in December 15th. It was done way back December 15th of 2020. So anytime, so if the Geldings had simply taken the Trump electors that were put forward by the state legislatures, then we wouldn't have the situation. You know, well, anyway, actually, I'm a little confused. This is something we have to check out, because I think there were the Democrats put forward Democrat electors, Brandon electors, and the Republicans in the state legislatures put forward a slate of Republican, you know, Trump electors. Okay. Well, the only thing is that the Brandon ones, the ones the Democrats put forward, are fake. They're not real. They're results of vote fraud. And you don't get to be an elector because of vote fraud. That's why the Brandon electors don't count. This is the big lie. This is the secret that they don't want to get out. The Brandon electors, because of vote fraud, don't count. You can't count them towards the total. I mean, who knows how many other states were vote fraud Brandon electors, but in the battleground states, the actual count is 316 Trump, 222 Brandon. Okay? I mean, it really is just that simple. There are 11 in Arizona. These are the genuine Trump electors. Nancy Cottle, Lorraine Pellegrino, Tyler Boer, Jake Hoffman, Anthony Kern, James Lamont, Robert Montgomery, Samuel Moorhead, Greg Staffen, Dr. Kelly Ward. You know that name, Dr. Michael Ward. That's it. Okay, those are the actual Arizona electors, 11 of them. Nancy Cottle. Cottle is the first vice president of programs for the Arizona Federation of Republican Women. Okay, so she's, you know, a big person in the party. That's how you get to be an elector. Lorraine Pellegrino served as the president of the Ahwatukee, Ahwatukee, Republican Women. Okay, Tyler, these are upstanding citizens. Okay, these are Trump electors. These are the people that who should be counted. Tyler Boer. Boer is the chief operating officer at Turning Point USA. Well, there you go. That's Charlie Kirk's organization, right? A Phoenix-based nonprofit organization that advocates for conservative values in schools. Oh, wow. Gee, I can see where they were discounted. Jake Hoffman. Hoffman is the Arizona State Representative for the 12th District. Anthony Kern.
from January 2015 until January 2021, was Arizona State Representative for the 20th District. Okay, so these are members of Congress. These are members of fine upstanding committees. These are conservative activists. These are the people that have been discounted and are told are election fraud criminals. No, they're not. They're the actual electors. James Lamont, running for election in the U.S. Senate seat to represent Arizona. Robert Montgomery served as chairman of the Cochise County Republican Committee. Sam Moorhead serves as second vice chair of the Gila, I guess that's Gila, Gila County, Arizona Republican Party. Greg Staffston, executive director of the Republican Party of Arizona. Dr. Kelly Ward, there's a name you know. You've seen her a bunch of times, right? Osteopathic physician who served as the chair of the Arizona Republican Party since 2019. Dr. Michael Ward, husband to Kelly Ward, serving as in they met when he was in the National Guard. Since in 2019, he, what do you got here? Okay, so let me see. So I guess this is his claim to fame that he's Kelly Ward's husband. I didn't see much else here. Sorry, Michael, I never heard about you before. Georgia has 16 electors, Trump electors. And here's who they are, Joseph Brannon, treasurer of the Georgia Republican Party. James Carroll, assistant secretary for the Georgia Republican Party. Vicky Townsend Consiglio, assistant treasurer for the Georgia Republican Party. You know, these are, you know, and on the board of governors of the Georgia Republican Foundation. These are party officials. These are Trump people. These are America firsters. These are people that have been denied their legitimate electoral vote by vote fraud of the Geldings and the Marxists. You want to hear more? State Senator Burt Jones, member of the Georgia State Senate. I mean, I could do this all day, but let me skip around. So you got 16, and this is an article. I can't put it on. Well, actually, I do have it on my Facebook page, but you can find it. It's in The Pulse, Trump's Fake Electors. Here's the full list by Kira Lerner. Thank you, Kira. January 31st, 2022. So you can find it. You read the same thing I'm reading. Okay. Georgia, 16 electors. Moving on down. Let's get some more here. Michigan has 16. Who else we got here? New Mexico has 5. Nevada has 6. Pennsylvania has 20. Yeah, so we got down here. Wisconsin has 10. There you go. So there's your list, 84. 84 Trump electors, all right, that they're going to call criminals because they have to stop them. They have to stop them from replacing their Brandon electors because the Democrat Marxists and the Republican Geldings know if the Trump electors ever replace the fraudulent Brandon electors, their asses are in jail. This is what I think is going to happen, all right? And I'm waiting. Okay, let's go. Okay. You know, Josie would say, you know, be patient. No, sorry. I have no patience for this. So then I found this article as part of the first article. This is from American Oversight. Uncovering the facts, holding government accountable. No, you're not. But you actually did a good thing. And this is March 2nd of 2021, so we're talking last month. Okay? This just came out last month. Now, the other one was in January. All right, so how they're setting an article, you know, 3 months later, I don't know, but apparently they are. So I don't know if this is added later or what they did. Anyway, American Oversight obtained 7, they're saying, phony certificates of pro-Trump electors. Okay, so they actually have the certificates of the genuine electors. This is great. Let me get you the first one here. Austin Evers, American Oversight, Mr. Evers, you have asked, and this is from the Office of the Federal Register. Those are the folks that published the fake mask mandate. Okay, you probably heard about them. They're the folks that publish regulations that make it into laws, even when they aren't really laws. This is the same people, Office of the Federal Register. You have asked for the following under the Freedom of Information Act. I have to make this bigger so I can read it on the radio. Hang on, let me push a couple buttons here. Let's push that one and that one. Make it bigger. It's not making it bigger. Maybe it's that one and that one. Now it's bigger. Okay. You have asked for the following under the Freedom of Information Act. Copies of all certificates and papers purporting to be certificates of electoral – purporting to be? You mean they are. Certificates of electoral votes for the 20 presidential election and vice presidential election, except those NARA has already published on the website titled 2020 Electoral College Results. Those must be the Brandon electors. Copies of correspondence, either the emails, cover letters, accompanying the certificates and papers described in one above. We are granting your request. Oh, thank you. We are releasing 45 – unredacted pages and 0 redacted pages. This is 45 pages of Trump certified electors. This is the smoking gun. This is the evidence. These are the Trump electors that they're trying so desperately to arrest and prosecute for vote fraud, because these Trump electors, they're the legitimate ones. And if the Geldings ever had any gumption at all, they would replace the Brandon electors with these Trump electors. That's why the Democrats are going after them. These are the people that can actually correct the election, not overturn it, correct it. They overturned it. That's why everything is in reverse. It says you also requested a fee waiver. You got it for nothing? You cheapskates. Let's continue on the documents. There's document one. Let's keep going. And that's signed Office of Governmental Information Services, National Archives and Records, 8601 Adelphi Road, College Park, Maryland, ogis@nara.gov. Oh, yeah, I should write them. I think they got phone numbers, too. You want to call them? 202-741-5770. Give them a call. And that was signed by Katharina Horska, Director of Legal Affairs and Policy, Office of Federal Register. This is really official stuff. Sent to the President of the Senate, Archivist of the United States, Secretary of State of Arizona, Chief Judge, U.S. District Court, District of Arizona, from Nancy Caudill, Electoral College of America, December 14th, Arizona's electoral votes for president and vice president. So here's the first document, all right? So this is memorandum two. President of the Senate, that would be, who is the president of the Senate? Chuck Schumer? Okay, I guess at the time, right? So that's the last letter. I made a mistake where the last letter ended. This is the first letter. This is the Arizona Certificate of Trump Electors. Memorandum to President of the Senate, Archivist of the United States, Secretary of State, Chief Judge, U.S. District Court, from Nancy Caudill, Chairperson, Electoral College of Arizona. So she's the head of the Electoral College. This is not some bogus person out of nowhere. Nancy Caudill, Chairperson, Electoral College of Arizona. This is the official Electoral College, you know, vote. RE Arizona's electoral votes for president and vice president, pursuant to 3 USC Section 11. Enclosed, please find duplicate originals of Arizona's electoral votes for president and vice president as follows. Signed, Nancy Caudill. Certificates of the votes of the 2020 electors from Arizona. We the undersigned. This is official document, okay? We the undersigned, the duly elected and qualified electors for the president and vice president of the United States of America from the state of Arizona, do hereby certify the following: A, that we convened and organized in the city of Phoenix, county of Maricopa, state of Arizona, at 12 noon on the 14th day of December. That's right before the 15th when all this was certified, right? 14th day of December 2020 to perform the duties enjoined upon us. B, that being so assembled and duly organized, we proceeded to vote by ballot and balloted first for president and then for vice president by distinct ballots. And C, that the following are two distinct lists, one of all the votes for president and the other for all the votes for vice president, so cast as aforesaid. For president, Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida, 11 electoral votes. For vice president, Michael J. Pence of the state of Indiana, 11 electoral votes. There you have it, the official certificate of Nancy Caudill, Chairperson, Electoral College of Arizona, certifying 11 votes from Arizona for Donald Trump. Shall I continue? Yeah. In witness thereof, Nancy Caudill, Louis Pellegrino, Tyler Boer, Jake Hoffman, Anthony. Do those names sound familiar? Yeah, those are the electors. Those are the electors I just read that they said were fake. And here they are on this document. Next one. Memorandum from David Schaffer, Chairman, Georgia Republican Party. All right, Chairman, Electoral College of Georgia. Okay. Georgia's electoral votes for president and vice president, pursuant to Section 3 USC. I just read that. Okay. Certificate of the votes of the 2020 electors from Georgia. We, the undersigned, being duly elected. This should sound familiar to you by now. The same three conditions, A, B, and C. For Donald J. Trump, 16 votes from the state of Georgia from the electoral from the duly elected and qualified electors for president. Here's your electoral votes for Trump from Georgia. There they are. I'm looking at the signature. I'm looking at the certificate right now, right from the National Archives, from a Freedom of Information request. There it is, from Michael J. Pence, 16 votes, okay? Signed by Joseph Brannan, Mark Amick, okay? And all the electors signed it too, all right? Here's another one. Via hand delivery, the Honorable Brian P. Kemp, Governor of State of Georgia. Notice of filling electoral college vacancy. Dear Governor Kemp, in accordance with, I haven't even read this one yet, so this is going to be live radio. OCGA, I hereby give you notice of the following. On December 14th, 12 of the 16 electors pledged to Donald J. Trump for president and Michael J. Pence for vice president assembled in accordance. Four electors, John Isaacson, Patrick Garland, C.J. Pearson, Susan Holmes, did not appear at the time appointed by law. Oh, this is interesting. I didn't know this. So in Georgia, the Honorable Brian P. Kemp, and I dispute the term honorable, was informed by the Electoral College of Georgia that 16 votes, 12 of 16 electors, were pledged for Donald Trump, and four people didn't show up. Didn't know that on the news. Certificate, filling vacancy, da-da-da-da. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure what they're doing there. I'm gonna skip on to the I'm not sure what they voted. I don't want to take up the radio time right now. I'll take a look at it later. Let me skip down here. They got certificates of filling vacancy. I haven't seen these. I want to get to the next state. Here we go. Memorandum to President of the Senate, the usual suspects, from Kathy Bearden, Chairperson, Electoral College of Michigan, date December 14th, 2020. You know, it's a familiar date right before they're supposed to be counted and certified. This is where Mike Pence sent, discounted every one of these. Mike Pence discounted every one of these certified Trump electors from the Electoral College Board in all of these battleground states. Mike Pence refused to consider them, refused to send back the Democrat fraud electors, honored the Democrat fraud electors for Brandon as opposed to these lawful Trump electors from all of these states. What does that tell you? And what have the geldings done about it? Nothing. Certificate of the votes of the 2020 electors from Michigan. We the undersigned. 16 votes for Donald J. Trump. 16 votes for Michael R. Pence. Next state. In witness thereof. Now the electors. Michigan, same thing. I guess they had a little vacancy there too. Next state. And electors, Michigan. All right. So you can see how this goes, right? So basically they follow the same form. So all the battleground states. Here's the one from New Mexico. It's 5 votes. All right. So I'm gonna skip this for now because you've already got the numbers. You know that there are 84 Trump electors, valid Trump electors, that were discounted completely by Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, the rest of the geldings, and the geldings have done nothing since to put forward these 84 lawful Trump electors and to remove the 84 fraudulent Brandon electors. Okay, I'm gonna play our Santa Rosa Volunteers piece so I get that done, and then we'll have Shelby and Josie. And I'm tired. Trust me, you do a rant like that for an hour, it's exhausting. But it was necessary to let you know where the certificates are. I've told you where they are. You can read them for yourself. Okay. I've told you the article that had the fake ones. I've told you their backgrounds. You know who these people are. You know who the Trump electors are. You know where. You know that you've seen the official. You've heard the official certificates. You can look them up. You know, go to the Action Radio group page on Facebook. They're there. I've quoted the source. Okay. American Oversight obtained 7, quote, they're saying phony certificates of pro-Trump electors March 2nd, 2021, from the website American Oversight. Anybody can look this up. It's all out there in the public, the legitimate Trump electors. If you don't do anything about it, then Brandon, the responsibility for Brandon is on you. I've done what I can do, and I'll send this out in a press release. But if you really want this nonsense to stop, if you want this danger to our country to stop, if you want the coup to stop, you better get out there and say something on every talk show and every media and every congressional representative and every senator and tell them you want the valid Trump elect certified and you want this nonsense of Brandon to end and correct this election and put Trump in and do it before. Well, actually, he should go in January 21st of 2023. That way he can run again in 2024. Okay. You want this election corrected. You got to tell him. Okay. Now, if it's a question of timing, we can put Trump in for 2 more years and have someone else run in 2024, or you can hold off. But we need to get this corrected somehow. We need to fix the situation. Those Trump electors need to be honored. And if you want to do a strategy thing and time it so Trump gets to serve the rest of his term now and still run in 2024 because he didn't serve 2 full years, that'd be January 21st of 2023. We can do that. We can talk about it. But the main thing is we've got to get those Trump electors certified. All right, let me play something here. Santa Rosa Volunteers piece on Federalist Papers number 11, back at the top of the hour, most likely. This will be finished about the top of the hour, and we'll have Shelby and Cruise and Travel, and we can talk about some fun stuff for a while. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers, here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Federalist No. 11 was written by Alexander Hamilton and published on November 24, 1787. My overall impression once you get past the same old arguments for a national government to rule over the states, you get the impression that Hamilton really isn't all that thrilled to have a new nation to create freedom for Americans, the likes of which no nation has ever seen, and more that he wants to reestablish connections with England and other European monarchies and colonial powers in order so as not to offend them, not to bring about their economic retaliation, and worst of all, to advance the business interests of Hamilton and his rich and powerful friends. I'm not sure he realizes that we won the war for independence, and as such, we get to act as a nation with independence. As always, the Federalists are concerned that the government will break into factions, also known as parties, and the states will break into various separate confederacies, both of which would reduce the powers of the Federalists, who appear to want the Constitution so they can run a strong national government over the states and as representatives of the whole nation to the trading nations of Europe, to which they intend to make all the trade deals, which would be enforced with their growing national government navy. So much for federalism, the separation of powers between the states and the intended national government and the independence of the states at all. It's all in a few paragraphs of Federalist number 11, surrounded by lots of blah, blah, blah. Hamilton, in a rare moment of clarity, says, "Under a vigorous national government, the natural strength and resources of the country, directed to a common interest, would baffle all the combinations of European jealousy to restrain our growth." The Constitution is supposed to be explicitly against a national government, which is certainly not empowered to direct any idea of common interest, which seems to be designed to say, give us a national government so we can use the power of a national government to get the best deals from our former masters in Europe. Hamilton's biggest fear, it appears, is that the Articles of Confederation will remain and the states remain independent sovereign entities which would be capable of making their own trade deals with other nations. And why not? American companies make their own trade deals with foreign governments all the time. So it's not trade and commerce that Hamilton is worried about, it's his lack of control over that state and independent trade, which is why he wants a strong national government over the states. He says, "But in a state of disunion, these combinations might exist and might operate with success. It would be in the power of the maritime nations availing themselves of our universal impotence to prescribe the conditions of our political existence. And as they have a common interest in being our carriers and still more in preventing our becoming theirs, they would in all probability combine to embarrass our navigation in such a manner as would, in effect, destroy it and confine us to a passive commerce." In conclusion, Hamilton recognizes the amazing bounty available in the new nation. My problem is that he wants that wealth and power for himself and his political and wealth class, who appear to want the Constitution to enshrine their power over the country in the supreme law of the land. To enforce his national government and push it onto the world, he talks of maintaining a navy strong enough to keep us neutral in any conflict. I'm fine with a strong navy, but I'm with George Washington on avoiding foreign entanglements. So who is Hamilton really talking to in Federalist number 11? The people or his people? He says, "But in the reverse of this eligible situation, we shall discover that the rivalships of the parts would make them checks upon each other and would frustrate all the tempting advantages which nature has kindly placed within our reach. In a state so insignificant, our commerce would be prey to the wanton intermeddlings of all nations at war with each other, who, having nothing to fear from us, would with little scruple or remorse supply their wants by depredations on our property as often as it fell in their way. the rights of neutrality will only be respected when they are defended by an adequate power. A nation despicable by its weakness forfeits even the privilege of being neutral. Hamilton completely discounts that the states and the citizen militias could defend themselves against foreign invasion. However, the whole point of a strong navy was to ensure foreign invaders never got here, and not as Hamilton appears to want, as adjuncts to their commercial operations and trade. He does make one excellent point, that a nation is despicable by its weakness and forfeits even the privilege of being neutral. Compare our strength and independence in the past to the dependencies of the recent present. So what exactly is the Constitution supposed to do, and who is it supposed to be for? At this point, I have no idea from the Federalists. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it.
Cool.
Yeah, we're back. I've just been taking a quick look here at some of these certificates. Shelby's going to join us anytime now, so I don't want to get stuck into a whole big other topic here. And I really want to talk about the mask mandate overturn and see how that's going to affect the cruise ship industry, of which Shelby's an expert. So I think I don't know if I read the Georgia one. I think I did read the Georgia one. I'm just going to go through these certificates. It's really fascinating to be able to see in print the electors, the Trump electors, and the fact that the left dug them up, the fact that they spent a year later. I mean, you would think that if Brandon were really, if they really believed Brandon was the president, they wouldn't be digging up Trump electors now, would they? But yet here they are. This is just from like last month, and they're still digging up certificates of Trump electors. That to me is fascinating. And so hopefully we'll see if I was texting back and forth with Jonathan, our Jonathan Mosley, our legal reporter, back and forth, and let's see if he can call maybe the third hour, see if he wants to join us. I might text him or something like that. But let me get you another one. Here's Michigan. We, the undersigned, being duly elected and qualified electors for president and vice president, you know, 16 for Trump, 16 for Pence. There it is. In witness thereof, and they all find it. Okay. Now, Michigan was interesting because if I remember correctly, that was the state where the Democrat chair or the Democrat lead or the governor, you know, refused to let the Republicans come in to vote. You can't come in. Well, of course we can. You know, we're the Republican representatives. We're voting for Trump electors. No, you can't come in. what do you mean we can't come in? And the lawyer's like arguing with this cop. And the cop finally admitted, you know, the Nuremberg defense. Well, I'm just following orders. Okay, that's where you lost it. Anybody who says I'm just following orders, I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. That's that's what the concentration camp guards use for an excuse. Well, I did all these atrocities because I was just following orders. Okay, well, that's not an excuse, folks. It just doesn't cut it. Anyway, so there's Shelby. She just popped on. But now that I got the certificate of the votes of the 2020 electors from New Mexico, the undersigned, you know, this one's a little bit different. On the understanding that it might later be determined that we are the duly elected and qualified electors for president. So New Mexico is a little different. Okay, let me pick that up after Shelby. That's going to be kind of fascinating to look at. Why would they think that? Maybe because there's is that Arizona? No, New Mexico. Okay, New Mexico is kind of like the aberration to all this. But we'll pick that up in a little bit. I'd rather talk cruise and travel at this point. So let me get Shelby's theme here as I'm quickly scrolling through my many and multiple themes so that we can get going here. Ah, here we go.
Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Fennett takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go.
Oh, I've been on fire today talking about all the – I found the certificates for the Trump electors, you know, proving that the fraudulent Brandon ones are just that fraudulent. And so this has been an interesting morning. I'd be curious if social media hears my show and what the reaction would be to the fact that all the proof's out there and it was brought to us by the liberals, which I find fascinating. All right, enough of that. Let's talk cruise and travel. Good morning, Shelby. What's going on?
Good morning.
Okay, so let me ask you the big question right away, and then we can figure out whatever else is happening. The mask mandate was completely dumped by Judge Mizell in Florida last week. Jonathan Mosley and I and Pianchi, who's one of our most regular and best callers, we went over this thing in excruciating detail, 3 hours worth of it. But I'm curious from you, how does this affect the cruise industry, particularly the part where the decision says that the CDC had no authority to regulate the cruise industry at all? That's none of their business any more than it's the business of them to regulate, you know, realtors and do landlord-tenant law and say that evictions can't happen. They've completely overstepped their authority in so many different areas. And so what's the reaction been from the industry? The CLIA, the cruise line, I don't know, investigational agency, whatever they're called. What's happening? How is this affecting
International Association.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Cruise
Please correct
International
me.
International Association.
Okay, good. Let's get that right. I just made it. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, okay. Like for example, I think we just keep talking about how it's all about perception and legality with the cruise industry. And they are known to be super safe. I mean, you have very high risk demographics that cruise. And I think also probably this is changing, but the last, I don't know, say 30 years prior, maybe this has changed in the last couple of years to five or seven, but I think you have a very conservative person for the most part that goes on cruises. They're not, I think a lot of people that are very adventurous actually believe that they'll be bored on cruises, which is, of course, not the case, as you and I know, but, you know, that's just their silly perception. So I think you have to realize who their clientele is, you know, the majority of their clientele is elderly, probably more conservative. They don't like, I mean, you can tell by the tours. Most of the time the tours are all just in a bus looking out the window and it's like, oh boy. And again, I think that's changing for sure the last 5 or so years, but if we're just kind of going for the masses, you have to appease the masses. And then of course the legal aspect of it, and if something happens, the cruise line wants to be, have the law on their side with, you know, different examples of what they've done to prevent whatever has happened. And then there's the public perception. I mean, it doesn't really matter what's happening as long as the public believes one thing or another. And I think that that to me is probably the most important thing, is perception than more than anything else. And as far as the masks go, the masks were removed from cruising for the passengers, not for the crew. I believe it was last month, actually. In fact, we went on February 14th. It was February 13th. It was removed. So, so that's already happened. The mask.
Day before Valentine's Day. Oh, so you could kiss without your mask on. Oh, that's very cool.
I think that was for the vaccinated folks. I don't think it was for the unvaccinated. But anyway,
unvaccinated people don't kiss. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you have to understand the vaccination requirements for most people, most cruise lines was adults, and then usually they were all a little different, but the majority had under 12 didn't have to be vaccinated, but they had certain areas and whatnot that they would have to be able to go to, and they'd have to wear their masks and things like that. So anyway, so the mask thing for the majority had already ended in February. There has been no talk that I know of from CLIA specifically in regards to that overturn. I could be missing something, but I don't believe so. But I will tell you that they have been coming out with more and more social media messaging, which I had suggested last year. I mean, everything they did, I suggested last year, which is interesting.
Yeah, you're ahead of the cruise industry. Like I'm a year ahead of the news, you know, so we reach out way beyond. Yeah.
I know. I don't know if being ahead of our time is all that advantageous. It's more frustrating than anything, but
well, we're kind of stuck with it. That's the problem. We can't go back. We can't be behind our time. because we can't do it. Right. That's the funny part. Yeah.
Well, they are starting messaging. What I would say was interesting to me to watch on social sentiment. So, for example, they had information saying, you know, the rate, the amount of COVID and the rate of COVID and the testing, because it's tested, you know, everyone's tested that's on board, is less than like point, don't quote me, it's a very low percentage, but in comparison to any city, it was like the safest city on earth. And so, you know, they kept saying like, you know, not only do we test, we actually have the crews vaccinated and we're monitoring everything and our numbers are still super low. And they're messaging stuff like that. But I have to tell you, the social sentiment on that was not positive in social media anyway. It doesn't mean that the people that agreed with it actually said anything, because they don't have to. Generally, when you agree with something, you just let it slide. If you don't agree, that's when you actually say something. So, So I don't know. The social sentiment wasn't so great on that. So that's interesting. I still think we're – I haven't heard much about that overturning the CDC not having authority on cruise ships. And what all that
– That's part of the decision. You know, I'd have to look it up. It's probably like page 30 or somewhere in there, because it's
right,
a 59-page decision.
Heard of it, that means that they're not really kind of promoting it. So I haven't been looking for it either. I will tell you that I do have some interesting, great news that I think you'll be happy with.
Oh, please.
I want to tell everybody that I have now come, I am aware now of a cruise line that is going to be giving the option of unvaxxed for a short cruise, and it's from Florida. So go to travelfund.biz and get on our newsletter, put your email in, and you'll be the first to know when that's coming. And that's coming out in May, so really right around the corner. Mid-May, so there is hope. At least I think that this will be a very interesting test to see how it all goes, and hopefully
it'd be funny if there's no COVID on the no vax packs. We should call it the no vax packs cruise.
Yeah, you can be vaccinated, but you don't have to be, and it's just
okay.
You have to be tested before you walk on board still to see if you have it.
Well, see, that's the question, though, I was having when we talk about these cruises and the amount of COVID that's on them. You know, and then for the most part, they're healthy. Are they healthy because the people were healthy to start with? I mean, they're not supposed to have COVID going on the ship, okay? Or are they healthy because the vaccine is allegedly working? I tend to think the reason there's low COVID on these cruise ships and why they're safer than most cities is because the people are screened ahead of time. If you screened everybody in the city and you took all the people that were COVID, you know, positive for real, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, fake CDC statistics, but I bet you'd find a very healthy population. So, of course, the cruise ships are going to look healthier than the average city because they've screened out the people that have COVID. You know, but you can't. But what they're assuming is that that's because of the vaccine, and I would say it's because they screened out the people that had COVID. So you're not going to have COVID on a ship where you screened out the people that have COVID. The vaccine has very little to do with it. That's how I look at it.
A definite fair point. However, I will let you know that I was in fairly close contact with a bunch of cruisers because they were on a cruise together that I was aware of, and the majority of them came down with COVID, and they were very sick, and they were all vaccinated and boosted. So that was interesting, too.
Well, actually, that's the trend. Because there's COVID in the COVID vaccine, and this is the big thing we've been talking about. There's HIV, there's COVID.
They were visibly sick. It wasn't just testing positive. They were sick.
Wow. I'm sorry. I hate hearing about this stuff.
I
talk about COVID, I'm not wishing anybody ill. I'm not wishing anybody get sick. I just think that the vaccines are spreading far more COVID, and they're creating the variants in record numbers. And this has been proven by enhanced, I forgot what the term was. We talked about this like a year or so ago, enhanced something development, which the vaccine weakens the immune system by only protecting against a very specific part of a very specific variant, and allows COVID to sort of work around that and create the variants that get around the vaccine. And so that's how these variants are all coming about. This is why there's so many of them, you know, not because, you know, but if people's natural immunity were left to fight this, then these variants wouldn't be happening. I mean, you only have so many flu variants per year. You don't have, cold variants come per year, but they only get so far because people's natural immune system learns about the new variants that come about each year and stops them. COVID was never allowed to do that, you know, because of this mass vaccination program. That's why COVID's still here and colds go away each year and they come back with new ones, because that's what viruses do. So it's a fascinating thing. They were actually, you know, the vaccine is actually causing the variants and causing the problems. It's designed to prevent. Of course, that may be the design because they're selling a whole lot more of them because of it. It's a very interesting situation.
It is a very interesting situation, and I wouldn't disagree. I would agree with some of that, and I definitely understand what you're coming from. And they do make variants. I mean, that's what the virus does, so we should have all figured that. I think I definitely expected variants right away. Mm-hmm. And the messaging, the way people are receiving information and their confidence in spreading the information is just shocking to me. Like, I don't stand up and scream out loud when I don't know, you know, but these people sure seem like they know and they don't, you know.
It's fear-based. It's their own insecurities that they're screaming out, you know, because they want to feel safe. They've been told they have to feel safe. And those of us who are realists realize that the world isn't safe. That's why you might as well have a good time while you're here. It's just simply not safe. There are terrorists, there are diseases, there's cancer, there's heart attacks. You know, we're all dying anyway. The world's not safe. So given that information, you know, what do you do to maximize the quality of your life, maximize the time with friends, family, enjoying things, maximize the time spent, you know, realizing your dreams and goals, maximize accomplishing something that you can leave behind, and do the best you can for everybody that you come in contact with. I mean, that's what life's all about. Okay. So given that I know it's not safe, I don't worry about it because I know it's not safe, but I'm going to do the best I can for my immune system. I'm going to do the best I can for my memories. I'm going to do the best ventures I can find, and some are going to work and some aren't. And I'm going to have, you know, tragedies and comedies and successes and exaltations and all those things. But these folks that are living in fear have totally discounted all of that because they think they have to be safe. And this myth of safety is probably one of the biggest problems. You're not safe. Life isn't safe. It's just not, you know, I mean, it's as safe as we can make it. But stuff happens, you know, COVID happens. And I think the fear of COVID is the greatest stressor that's lowering people's immune systems to where they're actually getting COVID. And you combine that with stress plus the vaccine plus all the other problems, you throw it together, it's like a breeding ground for viruses. Viruses are loving this. They're thinking, great, let's get these scared, you know, immune suppressed people and invade them. And that's what's happening. That's why people with the vaccination are getting COVID for one of many reasons. How's that for a theory?
Well, I do think fear is a huge factor in immune suppression, and I do think that they've been fear-mongering, absolutely. And you know what I find interesting is that we really haven't put much stock into how this all happened, you know? Like, mm-hmm. No, like, it's just, I guess for me, it's a same sort of thing in the sense of cancer. Like, now we're 1 in 2 people die of cancer and get cancer. Okay,
mm-hmm.
1 in 2 get cancer. I don't think die of it, sorry.
What are the others die of? Heart disease?
Probably, yeah, because that's the biggest killer.
Okay, so those are your choices, folks.
You know, like to me that the question keeps, how do we stop this? How do we cure it? The question should be, how the hell did this happen? and how can we stop it from happening? Not cure the disease, like stop the why did this happen? Within a 20-year span, we went from, like, you know, not knowing a soul that had cancer or maybe knowing one random person, and then now knowing everybody has a couple friends that have had cancer, go through it or have it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, they're asking the wrong question, because the reason we have cancer is from all the pharmaceuticals, all the toxins, all the plastics. I mean, it's just a barrage of bombarding your system with toxicity, and your body can handle some toxicity, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, this same thing with COVID, like, well, how did this happen? Like, I would like to know how this happened and figure out how we can stop it from happening.
I could tell you how it happened.
Right.
I could refer you back to our shows 2 years ago. That's exactly what we talked about. You know, the brief form is it happened because a bunch of mad scientists got together back in 2010 and created Moderna, and they started hacking the software of life, as the chair of Moderna said, the chief drug guy. It's in a TED talk, so I'm not making this stuff up. It happened when they created the vaccine first and then devised the through gain of function to create the virus that matched their, quote, vaccine. It happened when a bunch of greedy health bureaucrats, big pharma, big media, big tech people got together and realized there was a gold mine and create fear and creating a false pandemic, creating a virus that normally would be gotten over within a few months if we were left to our own devices. okay, that we could have cured and treated with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and a few vitamins and zinc. Okay, the reason it happened, I'll say in one word: money. This is money. This is the most medically Holocaust marketing scheme ever created. And it was created specifically to make billions and billions of dollars. And they don't care how many people died. That's why it happened.
Well, that's a theory, and I'm sure it's definitely got some merit to it.
I don't want you to dismiss. I mean, you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, but you can't dismiss what I just said and say, well, that's just a theory. That's like saying, this is when people like liberals get on the show and say, well, that's just an opinion. You can't say that, okay? You can't say, I just presented evidence. It's in a TED Talk. It's documented. We know what happened. We know about the foundation of Moderna. We know about gain of function enhancement. We know about the Wuhan lab. You can't just simply say that's a theory and dismiss everything I just put forward to you. It's not just a theory. Okay? There's a ton of evidence. Now, how you put that evidence together, you might disagree with, and I don't understand that. But you can't just dismiss it that simply.
I'm not dismissing it that simply. I'm just saying I don't think you really can. You are speaking from a place that is how and why it happened. My theory is that somewhat similar. However, I think someone just screwed up and let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
Well, let me hear your theory. Yeah, feel free to elaborate because this is interesting.
It's possible that that they were working on all of this, and like you said, with evidence based. That they were working on something, concocting this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like people are just very, there's just an error. People are errors. They make errors. I don't think that it was a purposeful release, but I don't know. I really don't. And I don't know who knows, but I would love to know. I would love for that, all of that information to be more prevalent, because I believe just like it would make you act differently, make different choices if people understood that cancer is coming from toxicity and in the environment, and you do have control over certain exposures.
I agree completely.
They understood that this was created and that there was a vaccine, and then they might choose their actions differently and their prescriptions differently, you know, where they might say, hey, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and ivermectin, that's the way for me. But they're still not asking the question of how it happened. So how can they, that's really my point, is nobody's really talking about why or how. We should be able to figure out how this happened by now. But no one's putting
I did three shows on it. I did three shows last year
talking about a lot of people.
No, I used a lot of evidence from a lot of other people, and there's a lot of doctors that went before Senator Johnson's committee.
Greg, you're taking this way too personally. I'm talking about people. People are not asking the question.
No, I agree with you.
People are not.
And
until the people want to know the question, that's great. It's great to know this information, but they're not even ready to receive it. They don't even have they haven't posed the question. They're ready to find a solution. If they had posed the question, I feel like their solution would be different.
Yeah.
There
are millions of people that are asking the questions. Now, here's what you talked about before of the accidental theory is a perfectly valid theory, that you think this happened for a series of calamitous accidents. That's absolutely valid. I disagree with it, but it's a perfectly valid theory because we have that theory all the time on this show. Dr. Peter Pry in Washington thinks of the State Department as a bunch of idiots. I think about them as a bunch of purposeful ideologues. So the question is, on a lot of different issues, whether it's national defense, whether it's COVID, whether it's the economy, the national debt, we talk about this all the time. Are these things coming about because of an accident, because they're idiots, or are they purposely evil? I tend to lean towards the purposely evil because I don't think these people are stupid. I don't think these things are accidents. But it's perfectly valid to think that these are accidents, that people just don't know what they're doing, that the forces are beyond their control, and that these things are happening. I understand that. That's a completely valid theory. I just disagree with it. And so that's the difference. So am I taking it personally? No. Well, yeah, maybe yes. But that's not the point. The point is, though, that there are millions of people who also take it personally, and there's nothing wrong with taking it personally. That's
you're
okay.
You're kind of lumping a lot of stuff in with accidents. I think that most people in government, and that's really most, are acting all selfishly in silos. And then the decisions that get made are really all because someone else made another selfish decision, because how do they gain personally from the decision that they're making, whether they're having lobbyist slash bribery, which I hate the word lobby so much. It bothers me that people even use it because I know that 90% of the people don't even know what it means. But lobby slash bribery is the real main crux of, I think, most decision policies and procedures are made in selfish silos. Mm-hmm. And everybody is in the end result is not really what was anticipated by anyone, but they all made selfish decisions in the process of getting something approved. So, yes, it's evil in a sense. I don't think that most people are so evil that they're intending on really like this big game plan of world dominance all the time. But I do believe that most politicians and anyone in very powerful positions, most of them are really making selfish decisions in a silo, and that just is the end result of a lot of selfish decisions. That's really my theory in general. On this particular I see the gain, like, for the vaccine. I definitely see the opportunity there, and clearly, you know, with all the big companies making so much money, I understand that. I don't know that many humans would want to embark on something that they really did not understand on a worldwide global scale of how it would affect people. Mm-hmm. I definitely think the research is being done. I definitely agree with you that there's a lot of evidence with the gain of function with Fauci and his crew, so to speak. But I don't know that anyone would release something like this into the wild. Like, I just feel like that's more of a, we're working on something, and then oops, because they don't understand how it's going to affect them and their families. So again, talking
selfishly. Well, here's the question: why were they working on it? Why were they working on something that did not exist in nature?
I agree with you on
that. You know, there's a question.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that could be. The scientists are always working on crazy concoctions. I mean, that's just the scientist's mind. But mm-hmm. it's dangerous, and you know, there should be. There are rules about it. That's why I was in China. We can't do it here. So, you know,
well, but it was
like
funded by U.S. taxpayers. So why was Dr. Fascist funding, you know, Wuhan lab mm-hmm. stuff that we purposely couldn't do here because it was too dangerous to do here? And yet China said, you know, working with the Chinese army and the bioweapons, you know, lab of China. I mean, the Wuhan is part bioweapons and part research. You know, they're kind of the same thing in China because it's called dual-use technology. For those that haven't heard the term, that's stuff that you can use for both military and civilian use. You know, COVID is the COVID virus is dual-use technology. It's a bioweapon and it's a virus that is out there now in nature. But it was artificially created because it could not have occurred in nature the way it is with the HIV, with the other parts to it. And we have several doctors like Dr. Mikovits, who's a PhD in microbiology, would easily be able to document that. I mean, she's available, I think, Telegram and other places. You can find all the stuff that she's putting out there publicly. So you don't have to take my word for it. You know, and in fact, I take her word for it, and she's been on the show. So we draw on as many sources, you know, as we can for these things, but they're not government sources. What's that?
I'm not arguing that all of that is true. I'm just saying mm-hmm. I don't think that they would let it out on purpose. I don't think they were ready to. I think it was a complete and utter just mistake, and that's just my feeling.
That's fair enough.
But
And
mine's a hypothesis too, and that's okay, but it's why were they working on it? I think that goes into a whole bunch of other buckets. Like, why were they doing stuff they shouldn't? I mean, that's what science and people. I mean, you know, the day that I found out years ago that they could clone a sheep, I was like, oh my god! I was in college and I thought, oh my god, they're cloning people somewhere in a room, and so that they can do all the studies. That they always say environmental factors, like in psychology, it was minoring in psychology, and the big, mm-hmm. really, if you just simplistically water it down, it was just like, was that natural, nature versus nurture, right? And so a lot, many factors in psychology are the conundrum that you can't ever figure out the answer to is because was it nurture or was it nature? Would it happen if you didn't have these other influences? And I was like, oh my God, they're doing this to people and they're making sure that they can separate them and they can figure out if it's nurture versus nature because they control the person. And I'm sure that's what they're doing somewhere and in a dark place. And because humans just are that evil and they are that curious and they are that
immoral and they are that selfish. And I'm not personally, but I've met people that are, and I haven't met the whole world. And I don't care what kind of law you put on it. Someone's doing it in the back room, some mad scientist figuring it out and making people. And so what should they? I don't think so. But I also know the human spirit and the human drive and greed and a whole other lot of factors. I think that if it can be tried or done, it will be tried or done, because that's the human component. It's a human thing that is a flawed thing, but it's like, it's just a part of some humans. They don't have that moral compass. They don't have that care. They don't care. And that's unfortunate, but that is a part of some people, and not just a few, quite a few. So I think, you know, should it be done is a whole different question. Why it was being done, I don't think you could possibly know the countless reasons why, that there's countless reasons why you would want to check different viruses and splice it together and gene therapy. And there's countless reasons, good and bad, you know. I mean, they're working on the CRISP method. The CRISP method is to end up basically slicing the genes and making sure that your kid can come out with blue eyes, blonde hair, no heart disease, and extra athletic. And, you know, you can actually do all this now with that CRISP method. But people are doing it. I mean, they're going to do it. It's just, I don't think it's right, but I unfortunately don't believe people. I don't believe in people. I believe that there's always going to be the bad, bad villain that doesn't care. So all the good people that do care, which is the majority, are going to suffer from that. So, because they're following the rules, kind of like why I don't think it's good just to have no guns, because there's always going to be the criminals that don't give a shit and have the guns, and they take over the people with the guns. So this is the same sort of
thing. Well, there's another side of it too. I mean, the reason to have guns is because it can define who you are. It can define your exercising your rights. I mean, I carry a gun just to exercise my rights. If there were not a single criminal in the world, I would still carry my gun because it's a symbol of my freedom. Okay, so there's multifacets to this. You raised some interesting questions about the morals. And we have laws, you know, that we base on morals, based on a moral code of how we view right and wrong. And so let's take the moral dilemma of creating dangerous things and doing dangerous research. I mean, going to the moon was a dangerous thing, but the reward was huge. And there was no evil intent in going to the moon, even though it was dangerous. Creating a virus that could not possibly occur in nature by putting a bunch of different things together, that to me is evil, okay? Especially if your plan is to release it and make billions of dollars. Now, I don't know all the details either any more than you do. Nobody knows yet, because and the people that do know aren't going to tell. You know,
right.
I'd love to get your psychological profile of Dr. Fascist, for example. I'll ask you that question in a minute. But the question is, you know, with COVID, if they're doing research on potential bioweapons for the purpose of defending against them, that's a good thing. If they're doing research on particular bioweapons in order to use them and release them onto the world as a profit-making marketing scheme based on fear, that's evil, okay? So you look at the intent. You know, you can do the same research, and as long as your intent is of a moral high standard, you're doing a good thing, you know, looking at how various viruses might recombine in nature, how they might evolve in nature. That makes perfect sense. If you're trying to predict what the next flu virus is for next winter, you know, that's good research, and it might be dangerous. You know, you might have some kind of, you know, weird things happen, but your intent, your moral intent is good. So I think that kind of research should go ahead, even though they tend to screw it up a lot. But as far as creating something for the purpose of introducing something into the environment that would never occur naturally, that's evil. And that's where I make my distinctions in terms of dangerous research. There's good dangerous research and there's evil dangerous research. It all depends on your moral authority for what you're doing. Does that make sense?
I agree with intent being the biggest factor of most everything in life, to be honest with you. I think, you know, your intentions are the most important thing. But I think you saying exactly that, I would say, how about we just for a minute assume that, yes, the intent was good to do some research on what was going to happen if these things occurred in order for, you know, military or whatnot, and then it accidentally got out. Mm-hmm. And then they just took advantage, full advantage of it, you know, because it's out. So I think that's possible.
I would agree. Yeah, exactly, and that's where it gets evil. So I would say when it comes to COVID, Once we knew COVID was out there, regardless of the source, you know, from China to here, and we had the ban that Trump initially did. Once we knew it was out there, if the government under Trump said, we're going to try everything to make sure we can stop this, kill this, prevent this. And I did shows on this. I did a show at the end of February of 2020, proving the viruses could be killed by other viruses. Viruses could be killed by drugs. Viruses in combination with drugs could kill viruses. There are parasites that kill other viruses. I had like five different ways that we could have stopped COVID. And I wasn't the only one. And that was just my own basic research. It took me like 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. I said, well, what's this all about? You know, here's where the evil comes in. Their only plan was to get vaccines for a virus that's already here. This is what made it evil. Their plan, I think, was always to get vaccines because that's where the money is, because Dr. Shiva said many years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, that medicine was being tailored to the individual. mRNA vaccines are designed to be genetically tailored to you or me for a specific disease. And vaccines are the one place where one size fits all. It's the last place in medicine where one size fits all. That's why they focus on it. Okay, this is why the most profit of all of medicine is on cancer, is on heart disease, because those are individual. Everybody has an individual cancer. Vaccines, one size fits all, whether you're 5 months old or 95 years old, it's the same vaccine. One size fits all, mass production, maximum profit. And we know this. We know the evil was in blocking the cures, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. And we know this because they did that by CDC, by NIH, by FDA, by the emergency declarations, by the lockdowns, by the masks, and everything else that was done. The one thing they didn't do was cure and kill it. And that's how I know that everything that was done with COVID was evil, because if it was not evil, they would have opened up the channels of communication. You would have had the studies immediately on hydroxychloroquine. The DDRO study out of Marseille, which came out in February of 2020, would have been international news. They would have said, look at this. This works. We've stopped COVID. And Dr. Zelenko's trials here in this country, up in upper New York State, when he lived up there, you know, they would have been published. Everybody would have said, great. When he gave hydroxychloroquine to President Trump, Trump would have said, this is wonderful. Oh, by the way, I'm going to fire Dr. Birx, Dr. Fascist, and Dr. Redfield, and anybody else that wants to stand in the way of open and honest research. That would have been the honorable and the moral thing to do, but they didn't do that.
And I really can't disagree with any of that. And I'm talking about the way it got released, that's one thing, but I totally agree with you that there was no open discussion about what could work, and Dr. Zelenko specifically, and everybody that – all the doctors that – put their licenses on the line in order to further that agenda, really, which was, you know, get this information out that these early cures can happen. If anything, it was all just suppressed. And then, of course, you know, they took the ivermectin really off the shelves. And that is deplorable. And I do agree with the fact that this was not done in an open and truly trying to cure anything. It was just done, like you said, you know, one size fits all. And of course, again, then there's just the whole fact that it's just not tested. So you're asking people to, you're not asking, you're telling people to do something that you don't really know what's going to happen, even for the masses.
Well, I don't care.
Which is unfair.
They don't care what happens. And that's the evil too. They don't care.
I definitely agree with that, that this has not been done. It was not done well, and we definitely should have had more access to information and more studies done by the government with the early cures of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and vitamin D and zinc. And I definitely am disgusted about the fact that this was not just not done. It was suppressed, and it was also demonized, and that they threw doctors in jail of psychiatric wards, actually. Which is fucking scary, excuse me, like that, you know, doctors were more than one doctor that I know of, and I have not put that much research into it because I don't even have 3 hours on a Saturday. I would say minimal research in. I wish, but like, you know, we're just all in different places in our lives, but, you know, the amount of research I did do, it was disgusting to me that this wouldn't be taken seriously and at least attempted, you know, and giving people the option. Give people the option. If it might work and it wasn't going to hurt, then what is the problem? And that's the real scary part. And that's what was it, Senator, is it John, Ron? Not,
Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson.
And Josie's on the line too, so I want to see if she has a question for you as well. So I'll make sure you get your contact information because I know you're going to have to go in a minute.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But yep.
What I wanted to say, hey, good morning. What I wanted to say to you, it breaks my heart because I know there's so many good American people with a good heart like you that you cannot comprehend, you cannot believe that they could do something like that, but I do. Because they live through communism, and these people are worse than communists. And they released, they started the virus in North Carolina in 2015. They released it to Wuhan Lab with $3.7 million. So this was on purpose. And they took everything away from us so we get sick to do this step, that step, in order to help your family and prepare it. But they didn't. They didn't. Till this day, they didn't. So... I was talking to a lady in my church. She was full of blood clots, and we kind of helped her with ivermectin. We guided her where to get it and all that. And she was telling me something. She said, but why? But why will they do something like that? I said, it just breaks my heart. And to hear you, you sound so innocent in your mind because you cannot believe that they could do something like this. But they have, with the cancer, with AIDS, with Ebola, with the coronavirus. Look at how many food factories they're blowing up. The government is doing it to keep us hungry because Biden keeps saying there's going to be shortage of food because they're preparing it. They're trying to poison our water. They're destroying valleys in California so people don't farm. These people, they're creating the fires. I mean, they go on and on and on and on and on. It's all about the money, power, and control. And it breaks my heart to be in this country and to see the corruption to that level that we never knew about it. And it's been going on for years and years and years. This is not, they've been planning this coronavirus since 2004. It's a long time ago, long time ago. But anyway. I just wanted to say you're a wonderful, you're a wonderful person, and I could hear from your heart that you cannot believe. And many people that I talk to, and let me tell you, when everything gets released, people are going to be in shock. That's why they're releasing stuff a little bit at a time because they cannot release everything at one time because people probably will kill themselves. They cannot comprehend and believe that this government can do this to their own people, including some of the militaries are involved that we know of already. But yes, good report, sweetie.
Oh, thanks, Josie. I got to run. I appreciate it, though, and God bless you all. Talk to you later. I'm Shelby. You're
God
fabulous.
Bless you.
Travelfund.biz. Get on that list for the non.
God bless you.
God bless.
Thanks, Shelby. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I want to do the Novax PAX cruise. It's going to be fascinating. All right, let's get to Josie's theme, and we'll get right back to her. She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Cossey knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Cossey.
Yeah, we've sort of expanded that to Ukraine and the rest of the world while we're at it, too. But, it's quite fascinating. Now, Shelby has a very interesting perspective, and she represents a lot of people. That's why I love having her on the show. But you're absolutely right, the things that people can't believe. I remember when I was a kid. And when I was a kid in Australia, I was about 10 years old, when this special called The World at War came out. It was narrated by Laurence Olivier. It was all footage from the Imperial War Museum in England. You know, it's probably the best film documentary of what happened in World War II. And as soon as I learned about the Gestapo and I learned about the Holocaust and I saw what the Nazis, not the Germans, but the Nazis did to people,
Once I realized what the Nazi government could do to people, and then I learned about Russia and China and all the different atrocities that have gone on, the millions and millions of people that have been killed, I realized any government could do anything. And the difference between me and everybody else is I realized that our own government could do it. Everybody thought, oh, the Australian government won't do that. The Canadian government won't do that. Mm-hmm. The American government won't do that. You know, the three places I grew up, Canada, Australia, and the United States, they'll never do that because we're a democracy. We've got God, you know, we've got morals. We would never do that. And of course, I said, you people, someday, I was 10 years old when I thought this too. This is why what's happening today is no surprise to me and why I accept it so readily. I already decided back when I was 10 that if anybody government could do that, the government I was living under could also do it. That there was no magic about the fact that this happened to, because the Germans didn't think that Hitler was going to rise to power. They thought he was going to save their economy. You know, the Chinese didn't think that Mao was going to have a cultural revolution and kill 20 million people. You know, the Russians didn't think that Stalin was going to starve the Ukrainians and the Georgians and the Kazakhstanis and everybody else, take away all the wheat in these collective farms that starved millions of people. Nobody thought that. Nobody thought that we have a country here where it was an illegal takeover by Brandon, and the fact that we have a bunch of gelding Republicans and Marxist Democrats, you know, and I just went over the entire first hour of the show. 84 Trump electors are still valid. They're still out there. In fact, the Democrats are still trying to arrest them for election fraud, when the people that are trying to arrest Trump, you know, folks for election fraud are, in fact, the people who perpetrated election fraud. The people that prosecuted and defended Marjorie Taylor Greene in that trial are, in fact, deep state operatives trying to suppress Marjorie Taylor Greene. So she had no lawyers on her side. She had a prosecutor and a defense attorney, both of which were against her. It's kind of like Mike Wallace and Brandon debating Donald Trump, you know, in the last presidential debate. So that's where we stand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. But go ahead.
Yeah.
And we got the whole hour.
Look at Venezuela. Venezuela, the richest country in South America, and this president and the president before him, he's starving his own people. His own people, you know?
So and they look like him, to quote Obama.
Yeah, and they look like him. And you know,
that's
why it broke my heart Sunday when this lady, she said, but why? Why would they do that? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And the same thing with Shelby. I mean.
Money, and power, control.
A lot of Latinos that I've been talking to says, I would have never thought that something like this could be happening in America, too.
Do you ever ask them why?
And I'm like,
do you ever ask them why it couldn't happen here? What was so magic about this country that people thought it couldn't happen here?
Because
I don't understand that.
Because for years and years, we looked so good, and we lost. The world respected us. The world trusted us. Mm-hmm. But now, people are like, they're just laughing. They're laughing on us, especially with the stupidity clown show we got running this country right now, including Obama.
Yep.
You know. And
well,
I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
please do.
I wanted to talk about France. The elections were stolen. GSA. Exactly like what they did here.
I was wondering about that. I haven't looked into it, so I'm glad you did. I had a feeling because Marine Le Pen is extremely popular. The French are not happy with Macron. And as soon as I heard he got elected, I said, I wonder if there's vote fraud. Go ahead. Tell me all about it.
It was. People are on the street protesting about it because they know it's a fraud. Exactly what they did here. What they did is all the voting things. They had a special, because of the mask and all that stuff, too, a lot of people are not going out to vote, too. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the voting, they had a special little thing if you were from this side or from the other side. So it was easy to throw away all the ones that they have certain little marks. So they didn't even have to open them. And they threw them out in the garbage. Out. It's a corruption. And the same thing happened in Chile. The same thing just happened in France. So, and the same thing in Mexico. So it's all a fraud and corruption and coming from Spain and Canada, from all those illegal machines that they have. So.
Well, Dominion. Yeah, that's a Canadian word, Dominion. Yeah, so that's why I know it came from Canada.
But I think Ron DeSantis is investigating all our votes, and he's putting a team or something like that, I heard. So,
this new bill was signed yesterday, and I've got a copy of the article about it. I think Fox News did a thing on it. I have to research it. But it's nowhere near as good as your voter ID bill. It's nowhere near as good as my anti-censorship bill. I mean, these things are usually Band-Aids, you know, on a hemorrhage as opposed to, you know, a full cast, you know, and a full recovery. You know, it's like the bills that they put forward in the special legislation, special session in Florida, you know, regarding public health and quarantines and mandates. Those bills were wimpy compared to the ones that we came up with. You know, not even close.
Yeah.
So there's a place for Action Radio. Yeah. We just need the you know, well, here's something
we just need the right connection because I have given my bill to even Mike Flynn. He put it in his pocket. I said, could you please give that to Mr. Trump, Mr. President, you know?
Yep.
And I give it to Hannity. I give it to Matt
Gaetz. I was there.
I give it to Cindy Powell. What else am I going to do? You
that
know, I have
question.
Given my bill, fingerprints, to all these important people. So it hasn't got to the hands of Donald Trump, because if not, he would have done something about it. So I don't know what else, who else can
well,
I go
to? The closest person that I think to actually getting some action done is Jerome Bell. Jerome Bell is a candidate for Congress in Virginia. He's endorsed our vaccine product liability bill. He's endorsed our Section 230
Maybe
correction
for
the liability. I'll give it to him. He is actually running on – I have to do a press release on this too. He is the first person in history that I know of to be a congressional candidate running on legislation written by regular people, us. So I would give him your bill, get him as a Facebook friend, and if that's any trouble, you know, I'll work on that because he knows me. He's been on the show.
Because
I think did you talk to him about your bill when he was on last time? Did you call him? I don't remember if you did or not.
No,
last
we
time he was on.
About it.
Okay.
No, we do not.
Let me try and get him back.
I know President Trump's been talking about that he's going to make sure there's an ID to secure the votes and all that. So I wish they used mine. But I wanted to get into Disney stock already lost $35 billion because of the stupidity they got involved and they're in all this child trafficking and all this crap, you know, about the gay and all that. I'm glad they're losing all this money and a lot of good people should boycott them.
From woke to broke. Was it also, Donald Trump Jr. said from woke to broke? I think he's the one that came up with that. Yeah.
And it looks like eventually they're investigating all the tunnels and all the stuff that they have underground in Disney parks about child trafficking and all that. So I think they're deeply involved. The Vatican is involved, including in the White House under the grounds. They've been having a lot of child trafficking for years. That was Glenn Wood was telling us about. He has all the evidence. But anyway. I wanted to talk about Twitter, Elon Musk. Oh, my God. This is awesome.
Please do.
This is awesome what happened. I did not know how they were going to bring down Facebook, Twitter, Google. Remember, I've been telling you for a long time. But I guess they had their own plan. I thought it was going to be shut down.
We talked about this. We talked about billionaires like Trump and Elon Musk buying these companies or putting together some financing to take them over. We talked about this 6 months to a year ago as exactly what they should do. I'm just glad that Elon finally did it.
We were told before that we were going to shut down Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, in CNN and all these people, and you say, how can they do that, blah, 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 blah. They should not do that. But we didn't know, because I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump is behind with Elon Musk on Twitter, because, you know, nobody laughs on Donald Trump because he's going to get revenge because that's Donald Trump. So what's happening is Twitter's being bought and the stockholders were getting upset because he was offering so much money that the stockholder wanted to make this money. So, you know, one way or another, he was going to buy it. We truly believe that Donald Trump is working together with him. And the
wouldn't surprise
all
me.
This is happening, and the reason all this is happening is because they have to release all the truth. And see, these demons are going to try to shut down all the media. That's when they've been telling us there's going to be at least 10 days of darkness when all the information will be released, that they have all the evidence about everything, about the fraud voting, about the child trafficking, about all of the money laundering, about sex and a lot of these important people in D.C. So everything will be released. And see, these people are going to shut it down so you won't see it. See, that's why Donald Trump has his own site now. It's not going to be shut down. And also he's going to be in control of Twitter. And I think the next one is Google, actually. Google and Facebook.
Well, I don't want him in control of Twitter. I want just Twitter opened up. See, here's something too, and I posted this earlier.
There's
two posts that I put on that I think that are very telling. One, I said, thank you, Elon Musk, you know, for opening up Twitter, because, you know, millions of Twitter twits are about to find, you know, 3 years of suppressed Action Radio episodes, because I tweet out the show every show. I've done it since we started. You know, so if anybody wants, they actually log the whole episode. They have a link to the show. So anybody wants to hear any show, they're all on Twitter. 3 years worth, you know.
Yeah.
But the second thing I post was the fact that Elon Musk could have saved the $54 billion he's paying for Twitter and simply, you know, used our bill, our Section 230 correction, and he could have lobbied that for probably $500 million. You know, and just, or maybe even $1 billion. He could have spent $1 billion, you know, ad and lobbying campaign saying, here's the correction for Section 230.
Yeah.
You give liability immunity to big tech conditionally, as long as they don't touch anything anybody posts, they don't touch anybody's account, and they don't do anything to a search other than post the order by the raw number of hits. No algorithms, no massaging, no political stuff, no nothing. As long as they do that, they can't get sued. But if they do any of those things, if they touch what you post, if they touch your account, if they touch the order of the raw hits on a search engine, then their liability is gone. And you know what that would have cost? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, Congress could have voted that nothing.
Exactly.
They didn't spend $54 billion.
I know what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
It was right there.
I know what you're saying, Greg. But the thing is, they got their own plan. Trust me. They got their own plan with everything coming down.
I trust you, but I don't trust their plan. I trust you, but I don't trust their plan.
Yeah,
I don't have time for their plan.
They have,
yeah,
that's why Donald Trump, on his thing that we're all connected, he said, trust the plan. Trust the plan. And he's been putting a lot of what's happening with everything now in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff is coming to pass. But anyway, so I wanted to touch that about Twitter. They already sealed everything behind Twitter because they were trying to delete a lot of stuff, but he bought it so quickly that they didn't have a lot of time. So what we're going to find out is how many fake accounts will be exposed and by who. It's coming up.
That's going to be really interesting. You raise an excellent point there. I never thought about that. But how many are we talking influencers, or are we just talking about made up people to try and generate more numbers?
Made up people to make more numbers. And not only that, but, you know, like they like Joe Biden. And a lot of these people are fake. It's themselves. So they're going to expose them with a lot of stuff that Twitter's been hiding and deleting. Like, they deleted me because I made a comment about the vaccine. Boom, I was gone. Delete. So all these people are going to be in the open. He's gonna expose a lot of these fake accounts and by who.
Well, that should be interesting.
The others, yes, it will be. It will be. And Elon was saying about April shower will be I'm trying to remember what the words he put on, let me see here. He posted on Twitter, and be my love in the rain. So he's sending a message there on Twitter, which he means a lot of storms happen in April. So we're trying
April
to
showers bring May flowers.
April showers.
That's the old saying we heard when we were kids. April showers bring May flowers. I mean, that's one of those little childhood nursery rhyme
storms.
Things. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but he's
that's
not.
That's the Ides
enough.
Of March. Beware the Ides of March. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's sending a message that that a lot of storms, a lot is happening, a lot is going to be released by Durham. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going to be happening. A lot. We're not sure what he's trying to tell us. And the next phone coming out by Trump will be directly connected to his satellite, Elon's satellite, and we will be getting free internet. And the main thing is they're trying to get rid of the G5 that these corrupt evils are trying to hurt us with.
You mean 5G?
That's going to be the 5G. They're going to get rid of that because it's not good. It's not good.
Well, actually, that's part of our Australian Bill of Rights is on invasive and dangerous technology. We actually have one of our Australian Bill of Rights prevents the government from forcing invasive or dangerous technology onto individuals until we know if it works or not. So you're going to find it fascinating.
Yeah.
We have a presentation coming up very soon. So next week I'll probably be talking a lot more about that. But I got a big question for you. And we have the next hour too, because our instant, you know, one of the world's shortest reports on Action Radio. I think we had one, maybe two. But I'm going to keep this Tuesday, the second hour open. In the first hour, I was reading the Trump electors, the actual Trump electors, the ones that were duly certified by the electors in the states of Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. And I was sort of concluded the show, I was sort of rambling, and I was talking about the fact that if Trump becomes president again, or he gets his term back January 21st of 2023, so that would be a year. It'd be next year. Then he can run again in 2024. And then I thought to myself, you know what? It's always best to do. Well, I know that. Well, hold on.
No,
let me just finish
running.
This. And he's not okay. If he's not running in 2024, then he should definitely get his turn back.
No.
But I was thinking of my logic was that it's always better to do the right thing than to try and plan history. And so, in other words, it's better to vote for the person that you want rather than try and vote for, you know, the lesser of two evils. And so in this case, since this is Trump's term, we're now in Trump's second term, legally, constitutionally, and by the fact that 84 Trump electors were denied by Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, and the rest of the deep state, the proper thing to do is to you know, void those Brandon electors that are a result of vote fraud, honor the Trump electors, switch the vote count so that the 84 Trump electors would actually make the new results. Yeah, I've got it here somewhere. Where did I put it here? Hang on, let me just flip my page back. The correct vote count is 222 Brandon electors, 216 Trump electors. That's if you switch the 84 from the battleground states. And so my feeling is that he should run. He should be immediately put in office. The geldings, if they're going to do anything, if they want my vote in 2022, they better damn well, you know, recertify those Trump electors, dump the Brandon electors, and then it means he can or can't run in 2024. It doesn't matter. But that's the right thing to do because this is his term right now. So I'm correcting my statement of the previous hour that the right thing to do is to replace those Brandon electors, put Trump in, and have the geldings actually act as a Republican Party and not a bunch of weenies. And that's where I stand on that. So my question for you is, given that I just found the certificates of the Trump electors from a liberal website where they're trying to say that these people are frauds and they need to be arrested for election fraud when they're the genuine electors, why are the Democrats still bringing this up? Why are they bringing up Trump electors? If they really believe that Brandon was the lawful candidate, why are they even bothering? Right. So they don't believe it. Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Why though?
Why do you think so many are stepping down? A lot of their senators, because they see the corruption. They were there. They know what's happening. They know they're going to be arrested, and they think by stepping down they're going to get away, but they will not.
Well, I hope they're all
arrested.
They
will not. What we were told last July, to our little ears, is that Donald Trump and the military has 100% in their hands in flash drive, and they have it in different locations. They have 100% evidence of the fraud, how, when, and who's behind this whole thing. As far as 2004, and I believe the movie from Dinesh D'Souza, he got a lot of information from Donald Trump to put together for his movie. No,
I believe that.
Space Force tracking everything. And guess who's controlling Space Force? Donald Trump. Donald Trump is in control. Yes. So there's a lot of good evidence coming out on Dinesh D'Souza, a movie, which a lot of theaters are probably not going to be wanting for him to play his movie because that had happened before. So, this corruption. The cabal is coming down. Game is over. It will be over. Trust me. It will be over. I know a lot of people are anxious like myself, but they keep telling us, please be on group A, not group B, that you don't believe what is happening will happen. And they keep telling us that. Believe, because it's coming. A little bit at a time, they're releasing information, but not all at one time.
Well, see, now I'm releasing information as I get it and I think of it. And I think this is the proper way to go. So that now that I found the Trump electoral certificates, you know, that were released by this liberal group last month, they're on my site for my friends, but it's also on the Action Radio group page, which is a public page. Anybody can look at it. And I'll give the site again. Yeah. If anybody wants to read the actual Trump certificates, all right, of the electors in the battleground states, the website is American Oversight from March 2nd, 2021. Well, that's actually last year. I'm sorry. We're 2022. I forgot. So it's a year ago. Not last month. It's a year ago. And the title of the article is American Oversight Obtained 7 Phony Certificates of Pro-Trump Electors. I would translate that to American Oversight Obtains Genuine Certificates of the Real Electors that Were Not Elected by Vote Fraud. And that's what it is. Pianki's on the line too. Let's get him in on our Tuesday hash.
I was reading on it. Yeah. Thank you for
did you see it already?
It for me this morning. Yes.
Yeah, I did. I sent it to you. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think of those certificates? Looks pretty good, huh?
I sent it to everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I think you would.
Yes,
of course. I can count on you. Yeah.
I'm one of the informers for a huge group, let me tell you. Boom. I send stuff and everybody's right on it.
Are they sharing our show? Is your group sharing our show?
I send it to a lot of people.
All right.
Yes,
let's see there. You know, live and podcast, we're available. Let's get Pianki in line. Pianki, go ahead. Welcome to our Tuesday
afternoon,
Tuesday third hour, hash the issues over. What do you think of the Trump electorate?
Good morning. Good morning, Josie. I had to come in collect my May flowers.
You like that? April showers bring May flowers? Right, we occasionally go back to our childhood here. This is sort of a de rigueur around Action Radio.
Yeah, those were the best years. No, that's a good analogy. But all these analogies, somebody needs to put them forth. And your geldings don't want to do anything. They're scared. I don't know if they're scared. You know, I think what it is that they have also been profiting from their position in Congress.
Of course.
And probably use their positions similar to what we've seen of Joe Biden, like the Ukraine bribery. That was an ultimate slap in the face. It went unchecked.
Well, Biden's owned by Ukraine. Mitch McConnell's owned by a Chinese shipping company that is his wife's family. You know, you look at all through there. Brandon's owned by Burisma. You know, the Biden family's owned by China as well. So you look at all this all the way through. These people are all owned. You know, I don't know who owns Mike Pence. Who owns Mike Pence? Anybody look into that? I mean, what's his stake in being a traitor to our country? What does he get out of it?
Maybe he's
promised the Republican nomination. What do you think? You think that was his trade-off for suppressing? Go ahead.
I don't think he's a traitor at all. No.
Mike Pence?
It's all a plan. It's all well organized.
Wait a minute. Mike Pence could have sent back the Brandon electors or sent back the battleground states that had two slates of electors, you know, the fraudulent Brandon ones and the real Trump ones that were not elected by vote fraud. He could have sent those back. Well, I don't like the plan. Then the plan is wrong. Do you realize that had happened? If Mike Pence had done his constitutional duty.
Why allow Mike Pence to do that? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
We allow everything that has happened for a reason, and you're going to get it.
I don't believe it.
Okay,
I think it's wrong.
Wait for the show. Get your popcorn ready, and you're going to
say,
"Josie,
now taking too long." Nope, I don't get it. No, I think it's wrong. First of all, do you realize how many lives we could have saved, how much of our economy we could have saved, how many jobs could have been saved, how many industries could have been saved, how many family fortunes could have been saved if Mike Pence had sent those delegates back, you know, the two slates of electors and said, we're going to take the Trump ones because the Brandon ones are vote fraud. He could have stopped all this stuff. Trump would be in office, would have been in office January 20th. There'd be no January 6th committee. There'd be no starvation of our oil. There'd be no surrender in Afghanistan. There'd be nothing that's happening now. There probably wouldn't be a war in Ukraine because there wasn't during Trump's first term. And they certainly had, you know, Crimea taken by Russia during Obama's term. There wouldn't be North Korean missile tests. There wouldn't be any of the things that are happening now. China would be battling with billions and billions of dollars of tariffs on all their illegal stuff. There wouldn't be massive amounts of information flowing to China illegally, you know, stealing our intellectual property. None of these things would be happening. So the trade-off you're saying is wait for the plan. I can't disagree with you stronger. I think that is absolutely criminal
not to say it, but to have us wait for the plan when we have Trump viable. We have 84 Trump electors that make the election Brandon 222, Trump 316.
I know.
To not have those put in, 316. Isn't that the Bible verse that everybody quotes, 316?
Yeah, but
I find that, ooh, that's interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Bianca.
He probably would have been on impeachment number 9 and 10 right now, too.
Well, who cares? They're all bogus anyway. I mean, the Nancy Pelosi impeaches by a poll. She says, who wants to impeach Donald Trump? And all the Marxist Democrats dutifully line up and say, we do. You know, and the geldings say, well, I don't really think that's a good idea.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, get rid of them.
Until people realize what they have and get rid of it, then for what it is, mm-hmm. then it's going to be continue to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan's joining us. Jonathan's our legal reporter, heard Thursdays, and I want to get his take on the all right, Jesse, why don't you go ahead? Yeah, go ahead.
They've been working on bringing the cabal
mm-hmm.
for more than 30-something years, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and this
too long.
Is all, they've been planning this for a long time, Greg,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they have to do it this way. They have to show it with their eyes in order for people to believe how corrupt, how evil, how dirty, how crooked these people have been for more
I think they believe it now. I think given what Brandon's
yes.
done, I think they believe it. I think if that's the plan, that plan is totally wrong. The best
and
laid
nothing,
plans. We know what happens to the best laid plans. You know, one little glitch in the system, one little unaccounted for contingency, and the plan goes out the window. You know, what's the, you know, in war,
people.
You know, the plan goes out the window when the shooting starts.
And,
okay. I don't
and
agree.
Nothing, it's
no,
okay.
I think you're wrong.
You don't have to.
I think the plan
and
is wrong. Yeah, I do.
Nothing can stop.
I don't believe that either.
Coming.
You know, I think Brandon should have been stopped December 15th of 2020. Hold on just a second. I want to get Jonathan's take on this. What's the status of the 84 Trump electors? We've been talking about it all morning. Jonathan?
Well, I'm looking at it. First of all, the website that you have, it's apparently opposed.
Oh, of course it is. That's the only way I could post it on Facebook. I often post, you know, websites that are completely diametrically opposed to what I believe. But if you read the comment above it, that this is that what they're calling the fake Trump electors are actually the real Trump electors. There's 84 Trump electors,
right?
You know, in all the battleground states. You know, I've got the certificate.
Remember,
the website put the certificates forward. Go ahead.
Remember that the I'm downloading it. that several groups, including Action Radio, filed a friend of the court brief that I wrote with Attorney David Carroll
mm-hmm.
On this topic. And in some of the research that we did, we've talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
and I think Pianki has talked about he's got some proposed legislation on the different elections for federal. Law
mm-hmm.
that the
separation of ballots. He's on the line too.
That the state, that only the state legislature has power to appoint the electors to the Electoral mm-hmm. College. To my knowledge, have currently chosen to do that by holding a popular election. There is no popular election in the Constitution. That's just
mm-hmm.
a choice that each of the state's legislatures have made
mm-hmm.
On how they're going to choose the electors. There is no requirement that they do that. There are no elections required in the Constitution. And in some of the research that we did on that, you know, we pointed out to times, probably a dozen times in our country's early history, when the Senate had, well, not just the Senate, the General Assembly, the legislature, had chosen the electors directly without holding an election.
Mm-hmm.
There's one example we briefed to the Supreme Court where they held a popular election and then they canceled it. So it is precedent and clearly within the realm of what the law says that even a state that has chosen a popular election can change its mind. So as we've talked about, the General Assembly, the legislature of various states can override the electors chosen by a popular election, even
mm-hmm.
though they've chosen to have a popular election. And so as a result of that, if the general, if the legislators chose to send Trump electors, those would be the only valid electors. I'm not seeing from this document the history. Now, bear in mind, when this was happening, I saw this happening, but some of the news sites that posted it have since, you know, they've deleted it or something. I can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting, but there was coverage of this happening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell from this document if this second state of electors is sponsored by the legislators or if it's just provided the electors.
Yeah. My understanding is that the state legislatures, the Democrats of the state legislatures of the battleground states put forward fake Brandon electors. And I say fake because vote fraud makes them ineligible to be presidential electors. The Trump electors were put forward by Republicans of the state legislatures, you know, for Trump. Those are the valid ones because Trump, you know, did not commit massive vote fraud to steal the election. Okay. You know, there may be some. I mean, I can't say zero vote frauds on the Republican side. I would tend to doubt that there's zero. But the massive vote fraud, enough to change the result, as they say, was definitely done by the Democrats. And it's pretty easily proven. We've seen the affidavits. We've seen the videos. We've seen all the evidence out there. So if you discount the Brandon electors, because their only reason that they are there is because of vote fraud, Mike Pence, this is why I think Mike Pence is a traitor. He could have said very simply that there is enough evidence that these are not the electors we're taking. We're taking the Trump electors because they were brought about by the election of Donald Trump, not by the fraud of Brandon. And therefore, we are selecting the Trump electors. 84 go to Trump. You know, the Brandon electors get discounted. December 15th, the presidency is awarded to Trump, 316 to 222. That's the way it should have gone. He could have done December 15th. I think December 27th is another date. I forgot what happens then. He certainly could have done it January 6th. Okay. And so, and they also could have done it January 20th. And they could have done it any day since. Any day since December 15th, 2020, the Geldings could have put forward the Trump electors saying that the Brandon electors are fraud. Here's why we are selecting these electors. And they should have done it January 6th.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They had the Capitol Hill Invitational walk-in, and they had the cover-up, and the Brandon electors were put forward, and they had the talk. Here's the big thing, too, is the talk. Mitch McConnell gave the talk. And I have it on reliable authority that didn't happen in the House. Because that Nancy Pelosi ran the House so much they didn't have to. It was already preordained that they were going to go for Brandon. But the Senate being a little bit more independent, and I think 14 senators declaring ahead, or 16 declaring ahead of time, they're going to start objecting. If you notice when the challenge happened, that there were House members that challenged, Mo Brooks, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a few other folks that challenged the battleground states. Not a single senator except Ted Cruz in I think Arizona, and I think Josh Hawley in Pennsylvania. Only two states
and I think,
of seven.
I think it's
challenged.
Activated by the Senate.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the House members can object all they want, but if they don't have a corresponding senator,
exactly,
then the objection dies.
Senate got to talk.
So yeah,
senators were suppressed.
And go
ahead. Yeah,
you should have like Rick Shafton on sometime or Noel Fritz as campaign people. I mean, Mitch McConnell has been a snake for 15 years, mm-hmm. at least, for when he's been in there. He sabotages conservatives. He's just better at disguising it than other people. But, but you know, Mitch McConnell has always been a saboteur on behalf of the donor class and the left wing of the Republican Party. He just lies about it better than most people. And, you know, long before Trump came along, he is that kind of a – I mean, he was probably behind a lot of the attacks on Trump.
Sure.
And, of course, he never allowed the Senate to go into recess so that Trump could appoint recess appointments. So that should tell you everything you know about
McConnell. Oh, I didn't
know
that. That's interesting.
But the thing is that what I'm seeing here, and like I say, the discussions, everybody ran for the hills. Based on the fraud you just described, the Republican-led legislatures really had an obligation and a duty to vote and say, look, this is unacceptable. We're stepping in. We're gonna choose the electors that most closely conform to the evidence, even though they could choose anybody. They could choose electors to vote for Donald Duck if they wanted, but they could, you know, but what they could have done logically is say that the evidence we're seeing, means that the true result most closely approximates this. You know, they could even do it down to the count, to the congressional district. You know, there are electors for each congressional district and two for the Senate candidates. They could even, you know, conform it to individual congressional districts if they wanted to. And if they want to say that the correct electors are these for Trump. And they have that authority, although, like I say, the biggest problem with all the experts in Washington is that they're morons and they don't know anything about politics or government or constitution. I don't know
if Mike Pence.
But we do. I don't know if Mike Pence.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if Mike. If Mike. Well, because they're doing it to. They're not doing it to learn anything. They're doing it to be popular. Okay. So I don't know if Mike Pence is a traitor or a moron or both. But
I tend to lean towards
that,
traitor.
Yeah,
I don't believe
okay.
in the accidental theory.
I think he's just dumb.
Well, he's probably surrounded. He's probably advised by traitors.
Okay, let's go Jonathan and then Pianchi. So Jonathan, make your comment.
Okay,
and then we'll
bottom line is that you have here the meaning of the Trump electors.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the Trump electors met. And the Trump electors voted, and they appointed. I don't know who all these people signing these things are. That's why I'm not. That's why I was trying to look at the memo, and it's not clear to me
whether it was
the legislature.
I'll send it to you. I've got the other article. I'll put it on your messenger.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, because
you'll
that's
have it in
what
about
I don't know if it's
seconds.
Just the I don't know if it's just the electors, the Trump electors. Because remember, in order to vote for president, again, it's a mm-hmm. choice by the state legislatures, not automatic, but there are each candidate for president in the general election nominates through a complicated process their electors mm-hmm. who are pledged to vote for them. So when you cast your vote, you're not voting for Donald Trump or Joe Biden. You're voting for the slate of electors. And in some states, they used to actually list that. And you're voting for electors who are pledged to support your candidate. So those electors were, of course, officially established before the election, and this is their report, what was released by a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, from the National Archives, were copies of their – they got together and met, and even though through the normal – you know, through the state election officials, they declared the Biden electors to be official – the Trump electors went ahead and met anyway, which I think is a very good idea, because otherwise, how can the House, how can the Congress decide which ones to accept if the Trump electors had just said, well, we're just going to give up, we're going to go fishing. You know, there's nothing for them to choose. You see what I mean? It's like what's called a proffer. Now, the DOJ and the who are morons and the House committee made up of Liz Cheney. Well, Liz Cheney is probably the smartest of the morons on the January 6th House committee.
Well, that makes her evil then.
And, well, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, to say that they're dumber than Liz Cheney is a pretty amazing thing to say. But so they're trying to say that there's something criminal about submitting the alternative slate of electors. But if they didn't do that as a proffer, then how could the House choose which slate is the proper slate?
Well,
see
the
what
House
I'm saying?
Doesn't
I think
have
they,
to choose.
They,
no, but here's the question, though, because there were Republican state legislators that could override their Democrat governor, the Democrat secretary of state, the Democrat attorney general, all the fake people putting forward the fake Brandon electors. The Republican, I think Pennsylvania, Georgia, I think Arizona, those three enough. That's 20, I think 11 and 6 or however
right.
many it is. It's enough electors to put Trump over 270 just with the Republican majority state legislatures. They could do it.
Right.
They don't
now,
have to declare
that's why
or do
I say,
the criminal.
I remember this
yeah.
I remember this happening in real time, and mm-hmm. there were letters from legislators.
I've got them in articles.
Well,
I can't
not
put
just,
them on Facebook,
okay,
but I've got them. Yeah.
Okay. But see, that's where the memo that was the memos that were released are the Trump's slate of electors meeting and certifying what they voted. But I do recall that members of the state legislators wrote to Pence and said, we're asking you to either send it back to the states and or accept these Trump electors. So if the state legislature got involved, the state legislature is the only authorized official, you know, the only authority that has that power. Nobody else has that power. Mm-hmm. And so if the legislature, and I don't know exactly what happened then or at the time, and again, those stories seem to have disappeared from the internet. So, I mean, now I do remember that some of the state legislatures complained that their state constitution did not give them the authority to call themselves into session, that they either had to come to their regularly scheduled session, which didn't fit, or the governor would have to call them into an emergency session, and they were Democrats. So they complained there was nothing they could do, which, of course, is the typical, you know, story of the rhino gelding. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, if only there was something we could have done. You know, that's what they're always doing.
Transgender Democrats.
Yeah, so they complained that, oh, yeah, we would have taken this up, but we couldn't, and, you know, and I dispute that for many reasons. But so that's the thing. If the legislature sponsored these electors, they are the electors. And they say, it's supposed to go through the
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, the thing is my contention, is the GOP geldings could have kicked Brandon out of office at any time from December 15th, 2020 on. They can do it today. They can do it tomorrow. They could have done it yesterday. And that's why there's no reason to vote for them in 2020, because, oh, just give us the House and the Senate. We'll do something. We'll do what? You can't even fix the election when you have the power to do it. The state legislature could do it. They don't even need a majority in Congress. They don't need the majority in Congress. This is the thing that frustrates me.
All along.
Oh, go ahead, John.
And Mitch McConnell is the king of that scam, because he says, like, oh, you know, you have to vote. You vote for us in the election, and then we'll overturn Obamacare. And then they lost, and they had like 3 months in which they could have overturned Obamacare, and they didn't. Because he doesn't. They don't want to fix anything. They just want to keep the scam going. Say next time you have to vote for us, but they never actually do anything. That's why I was saying people
definition
are talking
of
about,
insanity.
You know, we got to move on from 2020. Well, if you're not going to fix things from 2020, what makes us believe you're going to fix anything in the future? Mm-hmm. If you're never going to fix anything, all you're doing is running this scam saying, vote for us and, you know, and we'll take care of that. So we vote for them and they don't.
And
they
that
never do anything.
Is why I unregistered as a Republican. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Yeah, anything beyond 2020 is based on a lie. Its foundation is based on a lie. You have to straighten the foundation out before you go further. If you continue to go further, you eventually will have a greater mess.
Well, that's true. Let me give you a couple of sources real quick, because, Jonathan, you're asking, you mentioned about the Republicans. So this is from rigged.news, RAGGED.news, and this is December 22nd of 2020. Reminder, Republican electors in battleground states already cast their votes for Trump and Pence. That's one article. I've got another article here. David Levine online. Biden electors in the battleground states that Biden stole from Trump, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, should seriously consider, quote, going rogue tomorrow by casting their votes for Trump. Otherwise, history will not look kindly upon them. That was written a year ago. Okay, so I guess I think it was actually written before that. That was probably written December 13th of 2020. Here's another one. Vision Times, GOP Electoral College delegates in battleground states cast votes for Trump, disputing presidential race. And that's by Vision Times News, December 15th, 2020. That's the day after they voted. They voted on the 14th. It was certified on the 20th. Let me give you another one. You know, I've got all these sources right here. I can't put a single one of them on Facebook. All right. Here's one from LifeSite. GOP electors keep Trump legal battle alive as Democrat cast official vote for Biden. And this is December 14th, 2020. Surprise, surprise. Let me get to the next NOQ. I guess it's a report. Georgia state senators call on Pence to delay January 6th electoral vote. That's what you were talking about. And this is an article from Epoch Times, January 5th, 2021. I'll give you another one. Breitbart. 88 state legislators ask VP Pence to postpone opening and counting of the electoral votes for at least 10 days. And that's by Michael Patrick Leary. L-E-A-H-Y, 5th of January, 2021, right before January 6th, the day before. Okay, here's another one. These sources are all available. I've got them all bookmarked and everything else. Western Journal, Thursday, April 26, 2022. Dozens of Pennsylvania legislators urge McConnell not to certify election without investigation. It goes on. Could be, I think, like one or two more here, and then I'm done. These are all sources. They're all out there. I'm giving it to you now. Listen to the podcast if you miss them. Vox, 147 Republican lawmakers
still objected to the election results after the Capitol attack. And that was from Li Zhao, Z-H-O-U, or Zhu, update January 7th, 2021, the day after January 6th. Those are the 147 Republicans that actually stood up for this country. And then I got my other things like that. But those are my sources. This is where I'm getting all this from. It's right there. Jonathan, Pianchi, Joseph.
Right.
I just went through my sources. You know, anybody have a question? So where are the geldings? And who, what are they, you know, why? I think Mike Pence, this is, here's a theory for you too. I think Mike Pence did what he did because he was promised, this is his, this is making his bones for the deep state, proving his loyalty to the deep state. He deep six Trump. And so now he can get the Republican nomination in 2024. That's what I think is going to happen.
That's a good theory.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't
yeah,
think
but
so.
It's a good theory. You
all right.
You got to come up with
Josie.
Why.
Go ahead, Pianchi.
You
got
to come up and identify why and what's the game for him. People are just going to do things for nothing.
That's right.
He had to do it because he was expecting a game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just,
no,
just,
I think
so.
Theory is correct, but I think I'm having a mental block on the lady. Her response is he's not going to get nominated is true. I mean, he's going to be jabbed with the exclamation
or he's going to lose,
you know.
He's going to lose.
Right.
He's going to lose to the Democrat,
but
probably Hillary.
But that's the theory.
Well, that's the pattern.
Mean,
yeah, and the pattern is John McCain, what's his name, Mitt Romney, and Mike Pence is going to be the third in line. He's the third in line to get the nomination, to pledge his allegiance to the deep state, to lose, and then get some lofty position in the Senate or something else, or the governorship back. That's how it's going to go. I want to hear Josie's opinion, though, and then we'll get back to Jonathan.
Josie, you don't
like my theory?
About McCain? What are you saying about McCain?
Okay, so here's the theory.
What McCain?
John McCain
are you talking about?
Senator,
uh-huh.
Who has already passed away. He ran for president
against
Barack Obama. He lost. His job was to get the Republican nomination as the moderate because no conservatives could win. So they put 20 conservatives battling each other. One moderate rose up to run to get the Republican nomination. He's the only one that could win, and he dutifully lost to Barack Obama. 4 years later, Mitt Romney, the one moderate that can win against 20 Republican conservatives canceling each other out, and he loses to Barack Obama. Okay, the next person that was supposed to do that was Jeb Bush, who was the only moderate who could win, but they didn't figure on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump wins the election. That wasn't the way Hillary was supposed to win that election, and Jeb Bush was supposed to lose. So the next in line, the next dutiful Republican to fall on the sword is Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the only moderate who can win, and he'll get the nomination over 20 Republicans who are going to battle themselves and cancel each other out, and he'll to Hillary Clinton or whoever the Democrat is. This is the pattern.
I got you.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Josie? I barely didn't hear what you said about John McCain. I'm like, wait a minute, he's dead. Anyway, he was a traitor anyway.
Don't discredit his war record. Hold on, Pianchi. We haven't heard from Josie. My opinion is totally different.
Everything is in place. Everybody's playing their part, and there's a reason for it, and all of you will find out soon.
Completely disagree.
Okay?
I don't agree with you at all.
Including Jeff Sessions, too. Jeff Sessions, he's not a bad guy at all.
Yeah, everybody's playing a part because they have something to gain, and that's what they're trying to do. I always said this, is that the president is giving this aid, like we're seeing Biden giving Ukraine these military dollars. But see, it's those very dollars that filter back around to the person that's standing alongside of Joe Biden in one form, fashion, or another. That's the benefit from acting how they're acting. Pence is looking forward to having his day at the desk where he can do the same thing. Look at John McCain when he said, let's give weapons to Syrian moderates. Well, those weapon dollars filter
through Benghazi?
Around to their coffers.
They went through Benghazi, didn't they?
Yeah, but absolutely. And when they go through some hands, a portion is filtered off for quote unquote, who's the big guy in those transactions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have a theory, too, that when you talk about foreign aid, and both Pianchi and Josie talking about this, I want Jonathan's opinion. Foreign aid, to me, is just money laundering. Because they give foreign aid, you know, they take American taxpayer dollars, it goes to someplace like Ukraine where the money is laundered, and then it comes back to, you know, Biden Jr. in the form of Burisma payments. It goes to China, it comes back as payments. It comes back to American corporations, which is corporate welfare. So foreign aid is basically an extortion scheme of the taxpayers to pay money to foreign sources, which ends up back in the Democrat and Republican pockets.
You are
ends up in the donors' pockets,
right.
And it ends up in their corporate pockets, who are also donors to the deep state parties.
It's just,
Jackie?
A good example of that is AIPAC, that Israeli lobby. Mm-hmm. The billions go to Israel and come right back around, and it's filtered through the coffer of the politicians that supported it. That's how all this stuff is working.
Yeah,
that's why come it's always going to be poor nations. That's why come it's always going to be poor nations that's operating out of the Stone Age, because then you can filter some developmental aid dollars to them. You know, the guy that wrote Confessions of Economic Hitman explained it in part in his book how this stuff works.
How's it work?
Think.
I don't want to get
they're only doing this for their own benefit in the future.
Right. Okay, makes sense. Jonathan, you're a Washington expert. How are we doing for our theory here?
No, I agree. I mean, they keep throwing money at, you know, they keep throwing additional sums of money at Ukraine. And my aunt had, you know, had the question of like, you know, why are we telling people what we're giving to Ukraine, which always used to be Trump's complaint. But they keep doing it in additional, like, lump, you know, sums. It's like somebody comes along and says, hey, I haven't gotten my cut yet, you know, is my theory. So why do they keep saying, like, oh, we're going to send another $150 million and now another $800 million? It's like somebody, you know, said, wait a minute. I didn't get any in my Swiss bank account. I don't know.
And Jonathan, and the reason behind the tax dollars that we work so hard that they're giving away, it's because Putin has frozen all the money in the Ukraine for the criminal Democrats and some Republicans. So they have lost all their money in Russia, Ukraine, and they're sending all this money so they can get reimbursed of all the money that they're losing. That's exactly what's going on right now. They're paying themselves.
Well, what we see happening is trying to catch up of where they should be if Hillary Clinton had got elected, and she wasn't.
No, it's not a catch up.
See, if Hillary Clinton had been elected, then everything would have worked smooth and as planned. But now comes Donald Trump, and he eliminates all those things. He eliminates the stream of money that was coming back into their coffers.
Mm-hmm. So how does starving us of energy fit into this too? Because you look at the fact that I just got an article from Uncovered DC that Brandon is sending, you know, millions of gallons of our oil from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I'm going to do a whole show on this thing upcoming soon. I'm just having way too much fun with the Trump electors and the fact that the geldings won't put them forward. It's almost like we speak a new language on this show. Transgender Democrats, which are formerly rhinos, you know, Dr. Fascists. We literally have our own language here. But I'm wondering what you know, why are we being starved for energy? Is it simply the Green New Deal? Is it simply the wacko climate change theory? Or is there money in it? Is there a solar lobby or a wind lobby that has so much money they can counteract the petroleum lobby? I don't think so. But you look what's happened. The federal land is sealed off, even though we've proved it's really state land with my show with Dr. Roger Roots. We proved from Gregory Wright's own that CO2 is actually a good thing. And we proved from several articles I did another show that the Earth generates oil abiotically, in other words, non-fossil fuel. It actually makes it from hydrogen and carbon under the earth. So there's pretty much an unlimited supply of hydrocarbons, you know, in oil, coal, and natural gas. And so having proved all that, why are they sealing all this off? What benefit is it to this country, to the Democrats and the Republicans, to take away our energy? Why?
They don't care about that. These people could bring up a good logical argument to bring back the dial telephone. They could. They don't care about that.
Okay. But who gains? I mean, Archer Daniel Midland gains because they now have 15% ethanol in our fuel. So they're gaining. They're gaining GMO corn.
The people that's going to gain
China.
Is those Right. Those who's going to be standing behind charging stations, they're gaining. Those that's going to gain is those who are going to be behind batteries. They're gaining.
And those supplies of rare metals and minerals are primarily in China, Afghanistan, and Russia. And China makes most of the solar electric. I mean, this goes back to the 80s where Angola has, you know, where the international community was trying to corner the market on metal, rare metals and things that we need to make our aircraft and everything else, and our military aircraft. So, you know, so this is a gift to China to make, you know, to buy their solar panels and everything else. And their electric batteries.
So let's ask a bigger question. The dangers of a single energy source economy. I think the most dangerous thing we could do would transfer to a fully electric economy, electric cars, electric homes, electric businesses, electric industry, because as I had an article stating earlier, electricity is a secondary source. It takes energy to create electricity. The energy comes from coal, oil, natural gas, and uranium primarily, and to a lesser extent, a little tiny bit, geothermal, solar, and wind. But for the most part, it's our abiotic petroleum sources that the earth makes naturally that are used to create electricity. So we're being denied petroleum so that the petroleum products can go to electricity, which is a government-regulated process by which they can regulate all our electric cars, electric homes. They can ration power. They can say how much power you're going to have, and they can use that to make electric cars that are fully trackable, fully traceable, fully monitorable, and fully able to be shut down. Because electric things are subject to electromagnetic pulse technology, whereas 1970 muscle cars are not, which is why I want one. And Josie has older cars, so she knows about this kind of stuff. But the thing is, the dangers of an all-electric economy are huge, and we all seem to be racing towards it. Ford actually bragged about their electric F-150. Well, I don't think there's a single, you know, real man on the planet that wants an electric Ford 150. Certainly not Southerners. But yet there it is.
Well, you know, everything you're saying is true. But you were taking the same position that conservatives always take. They're always on the defense. They forever on the defense trying to explain to a dumb population why something should not be, whereas mm-hmm. the other side takes advantage of the dumbness. The only policing authority you see that's coming out of the public was the January 6th crowd. That's why come they are punishing them so. How dare you challenge us? How dare you do what you do? And we're going to set an example so that nothing else, nobody else, comes from where you come from and attempt to do that in the future.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, but I disagree with your premise that I'm a defensive all the time. If you look at what we just talked about, the whole Trump electors is purely offensive. I made a statement earlier in the show that Elon Musk blew it. He didn't have to buy Twitter. He could have spent $500 million pushing our bill that corrects Section 230 and would have fixed all of big tech. So everybody's congratulating him for spending $54 billion to fix one big tech company, when for, like I say, $500 million or maybe even $1 billion, he could have had an entire lobbying campaign, an entire advertising campaign. He could have demonized big tech. He could have sent lobbyists to every member of the Senate and the House. He could have said, this is what we want, pass this bill, and we would have had full liability on big tech if they touch anybody's account or rearrange the search engines. That's the proper solution, and that is an offensive move. That was preemptive. I did shows on Archer Daniels Midland to get rid of the ethanol subsidy, and I proved that ethanol is not necessary. I've done shows that say that the Western land is actually state land, not federal. That's assertive. That's preemptive. That's on the offense. Abiotic oil is on the offense. CO2 being a good thing is on the offense. You look at most of the shows, almost every show we do is on the offense. I disagree with the characterization. I love what you're saying, but I understand it, but I don't think it applies to Action Radio, but it definitely applies to the Geldings, which is why I call them Geldings.
Yeah, but Greg, we're not talking about Action. We're not talking about Action Radio. These things was going on when Action Radio was nothing more but a thought.
Yeah, it was on a bike
ride. And they continued.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're not talking about me, then I understand. I didn't mean to jump on you. I thought you meant you're characterizing what we do as not offensive, as not on the offense, but I think we really are. Josie?
Hey, Greg. I'm going to have to call Elon and tell him that he screwed up. He should have listened to you and us.
Well, you should have called Elon. I want him on the show. In fact, he's on my press release list. I sent Elon Musk our press releases. Why he hasn't picked up on it,
Greg.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm working on it.
Well, you can't expect
just one person.
Spend their money You can't expect somebody to spend their money to do something that you yourself should be doing for yourself. I leave him alone. Everybody looks to the rich person to spend money for their ideas that they can't raise money and put into implementation themselves.
Oh,
he spends
no,
money
I said
how
it earlier,
wants.
Bianchi. Bianchi, I said it earlier. It would have cost nothing for Congress to pass our bill on Section 230. It would have cost them nothing. They didn't do it. So I'm saying is Elon Musk could have done a lobbying campaign. Trump could have done a lobbying campaign because lobbyists get results. Why do you think there's no liability on vaccine makers? A lobbying campaign.
If you got a Congress that's representing a whole nation of people that's ignorant, that's why come to school the like they are.
Well, that's why we want to get rid of the schools.
The kids coming up to your school is going to be ignorant adults at some point in time in their life. And they're going to fall prey to the schemes and the conniving that we see going on.
Yeah. Well, let me switch back to Jonathan for a second here, because Jonathan knows people. And the people that you know, the higher – I'm not going to mention names, but the higher political folks that you know that have been involved in campaigns, involved in Republican politics and things like that, why aren't they pushing Trump electors? Why aren't they doing what we're doing here? Why aren't they on board with correcting this election way before the 2022 midterms? If you want to guarantee a Republican victory – for both the House and the Senate, you know, replace those Brandon frauds with Trump electors before the midterm election, and you will see a vote. You'll have a veto-proof majority in both houses if they would do that. Jonathan, want to make some calls?
Well, the people on our side, as far as that goes, they don't understand these.
Oh, okay.
And you know, like I say, most people learn about politics and the government from just listening to, you know, going to a seminar and listening to the person next to them. They don't go to the original sources. They don't get an original education.
Yeah,
they don't. But they don't know about these things, and they don't believe them, and they don't believe that they'll get any traction if they stick their neck out. They don't believe it'll go anywhere. And you know, but like I say, the thing is, like saying, well, let's move on to 2022. Well, if you're not going to fix 2020, then you know nobody believes you are going to do anything in 2022 or in the future. You know, you're not going to do it. If you're not going to do anything about real problems, why do we believe that? You say, well, let's fix real problems instead. Yeah, but I don't believe you're going to do that.
Let's go with that for a second, and let's talk to some real pollsters. I mean, real pollsters that really know. They're talking. Some idiot on One American News was saying that, or Fox was saying there'd be 40, Republicans will take the place of Democrats in the House. So the Republicans will be up 40, and I don't know how many was the Senate, like 10 or 12 or something like that. But the thing is, what are they basing that on? The geldings have not performed. The geldings have allowed Trump to, allowed him to be kicked out of his legitimate office. The geldings, you know, are not talking about the Afghanistan surrender. Well, a couple of them are. In fact, Trump is the boldest speaker of all. I just watched his last rally. So where is this big swell coming from for the Republicans? I don't think the support's there. I think there's going to be a big surprise, a really big surprise. And I think if we had an accurate poll as to what kind of support there really is for Republicans, I don't think it's as big as people say. It's for Trump. It's not for the GOP.
Well,
Trump. Go ahead.
The thing is, most Republicans, the swamps, everything else like that, they don't have the comprehension of persuading anybody. They look at the polls, and they just want to divide up the pie. You know, they have no idea of going out and making their case and convincing anybody. In fact, the Bushies would act like it's wrong to change anybody's mind. It's like, well, that's just not done. You know, you don't
that's
change
the whole basis of
action
radio. Yeah, it's changing people's
minds. Yeah, and in politics.
Yeah,
so they're just looking. They're not looking at it, I think, in terms of their ability to persuade. They don't believe in their ability to persuade, and they, like I say, you know, and there's somewhat this quasi religious idea that I don't, you know, I can go out and say stupid things in evangelism, and you know, God will make people understand, even if I don't even bother to find, you know, to study this, to what I'm going to say. And, you know, there's this idea in right-wing politics that if I just have the right beliefs in my heart, it doesn't matter how incompetent I am at doing the job. And
that's
you know, I just have to
accurate.
Be right.
Yeah.
You know, and so the thing is, I don't think they're I think they're just flat out looking at the polls which means the Democrats have done the Democrats have done our job for us, convincing us that they're lunatics. And, you know, we're not going to, and, you know, that's why I've been posting on Facebook for a while. There is still time for the swamp, for the swamp Republicans to lose the November election.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we could get them, if we could put the geldings in the basement, we'll win. If they, you know, it's like, for example, they're just, you know, every now and then, you know, reference to Christine O'Donnell comes up because she had to say she's not a witch because of what Bill Maher on her. It's a long story, which,
oh,
you know,
funny.
So what? I'm glad you're not a witch. That's a good thing. But, you know, and then they'll have this constant thing saying, you know, that real conservatives can't win. And then the entire establishment, right and left, goes into high gear, you know, stabbing the conservative with a million cuts to make
mm-hmm.
sure that their prophecy comes true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that the conservative can't win is a self-fulfilling prophecy because the Mitch McConnells and everybody else sabotage any conservative who gets through the primary process.
Mitt Romney,
guarantee,
John McCain, Jeb Bush, the chosen ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Crazy. Let me play something.
You know, this thing.
Go ahead, Bianca. Then I want to play something. There's only 43 seconds. Go ahead.
To better put this in an example, if you draw a line in the sand and you take a rabbit and take a turtle and put them both on the line, stand off to the side
mm-hmm.
and fire a starting gun for them to start. Well, the rabbit takes off, but the turtle is still there. The rabbit is startled by the noise, so it runs for cover. Whereas the turtle is already carrying its cover on its back. This exactly reminds me of what's going on.
It's funny, they call Mitch McConnell the turtle. That's amazingly accurate. The only thing he did well was with the judges, and I'm not sure why I did that. Anyway, I want to play something for you guys that I made a couple of months before the 2020 election. It's very prophetic of what I thought was going to happen. And so the idea that we didn't know how bad this was going to be, people say, well, I didn't know it was going to be that bad. Let me tell you what we thought here at Action Radio. This would be maybe September, October before the November elections of 2020. I made this. Joe Biden's Dark Winter. No freedom, no liberty. No guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country. What do you think? Scary accurate, huh?
Perfect.
Yeah. And that was before the 2020 election. We all knew. Everything
well,
in
and
that piece
right.
has come true. Jonathan.
Well, and not just because, you know, Biden has a clue what day it is, but because the people around him are, you know, are the most extreme wacko communists you could ever find. So, yeah, it's absolutely right.
Yeah. We got about 7 minutes left. I'm going to open up to all of you. In fact, I'm going to kind of sit back a little bit here. Any other topics that you think we should be covering? We've got the Trump electors. We've got you know, Elon Musk saving us when he didn't have to. You know, we've got Ukraine still. We've got you know, massive things. Our oil is being stolen from us. And I don't know what's next on the horizon. You know, there's like a couple of other stories. And we got the electrification as the only source of energy. Any one of which, you know, our terrible situations. And none of this had to happen. This is the scary part. None of this had to happen. If the geldings had simply done their job, you know, if Mike Pence had simply taken the Trump electors, none of this would be happening now. This is the crazy part. We're like an alternative universe.
Let me tie that a little.
Okay, good.
Let me tie that a little together, because you were saying that you were trying to post information about this alternative slate of electors and Facebook won't let you.
You mean the real
Department of Justice.
The real ones.
Yes. Well, but the fact that there are two. The House committee and the media and the leftists and the prosecutors
are investigating that as in their view, some dark activity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to push this as a narrative of some horrible thing, and yet you're not allowed to post the other side of the argument. How is it that, you know, so how is it that they can talk about their theory about the same topic and you can't post on the topic?
Yeah, I actually have to post the opposite to what I believe and use that evidence on the show here. That's what I talked about when they talked about the fake Trump electors. Those are the real Trump electors. The fact that they're talking about the insurrectionists, they are the insurrectionists. The people that were prosecuting Marjorie Greene, including her own attorneys, they are the insurrectionists. And that's why the best defense for her would have been to prove the election fraud. And they didn't do that. I'll press release on that too. So all these things that you know, I hate to say this, we've got the solutions right here. We know how to fix all of this, but they're not doing it. And there must be a vested interest in keeping things the way they are. Why do Republicans want to be losers all the time? What vested interest do they have in losing and not being in power? Are they just bought off? Are they comfortable enough? Are they got their golden parachute, their golden handcuffs? What? Don't they have any spine at all?
They bought off. And you know, another thing too, a state could stop Facebook at its borders, just like we see countries stop Facebook at its borders.
Poland did. Poland stopped him cold and charged him a couple of billion dollars for fraud, for manipulation.
Florida could stop Facebook. Missouri could stop it. Arizona, North Dakota, all of them could stop Facebook and say, you're not coming in to our state.
Or until you do what we do, which is to have get rid of big tech censorship. Make it conditional. Make their liability immunity conditional on them not touching accounts, not touching what's posted, and not touching search engine results beyond the raw number of hits. Jesse, go ahead.
Greg, but at the end, the good news is the Patriots will win. Okay, that's all I can say.
And I believe God helps those that help themselves. Okay. And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is where the action is. This is where the results are. And the Trump election. See, now I think, Jonathan, we got, like I said, about 4 minutes left. Jonathan, I think the reason they're doing this is because they realize that those Trump electors are viable and they could replace the Brandon electors at any time. All it takes is three states to decertify: Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, or Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Whatever. There's like three states with Republican state majorities in their state legislature could switch those Brandon electors out at any time, with or without an audit. And that's why they have to get rid of them. Why do you think they put the January 6 people in prison in solitary? To shut them up, to not let them tell the truth about what really happened in the Capitol Hill invitational walk-in. Now they have to shut up the Trump electors.
Yeah.
It's like a murderer trying to tie up the loose ends by killing off the witnesses. They're killing off the witnesses, or they're imprisoning the witnesses, or they're making them illegal.
Well,
they
replace them with immigrants who don't have a concept of a U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's the
immigrants
don't
come in and
replaced.
Do things based on emotions and where they're coming from. And what, if you look at where they're coming from, it's nothing like what needs to be done here. That's why they replaced the Americans with immigrants.
Well, no, I've talked about that. Americans get abortions and illegal aliens get free health care. You know, that's where we are. It's a replacement program. But that's another show. I really want to focus on Jonathan in our last couple of minutes here of the fact that they have to get rid of these Trump electors because they are still viable. And if they're not in jail and if they're not shut up, then the Geldings or any legitimate person or Trump, you know, or anybody could replace the fraud Brandon ones at any time with an audit or just a simple vote of the state legislatures dominated by Republicans. Or majority control.
Well, that's right,
Jonathan.
And of course, the question is: if they allege that these are phony electors, then you have to ask the question: if anyone's a thinking person and knows anything about stuff, what makes the electors legitimate? You know, you have to ask why are these? I mean, because the problem with the left is that they're dumb. They're so caught up in their emotions they shoot themselves in the foot. So by saying that these are the phony electors, they are advertising the fact that, like, wait a minute, what constitutes phony and what constitutes legitimate? And eventually, you know, that will get out there if we push on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Trump electors are the real ones, and the Brandon ones are phony because of vote fraud. So if anybody wonders why you can select Trump electors over Brandon electors, it's because the Brandon ones are only there because of massive illegal vote fraud. Cheated. They defrauded. They, excuse me, committed crimes. And because they committed crimes in order to try and in order to steal the election, those electors are no longer viable. It's like if you cheat in a race. You don't cheat in a race and give the victory. If someone comes in first in a race and they cheated, you don't give them the victory. You disqualify them.
Of course
so
not.
In the same, because they right. cheated, because they broke the rules. In this case, they broke the laws. The Democrats and Republicans too, like in Maricopa County, they broke election laws. They are not entitled to electors because they broke the election laws. They defrauded. They can't have their electors. The only electors that are viable in a state where the Democrats broke the election laws are the Trump Republican electors. That's why you put the Trump ones forward. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens.
Absolutely. It makes sense. You come in on them.
You don't reward the cheaters. You don't give the cheaters the victory right. or the ribbon or the trophy. Jonathan.
You don't let them take the money.
Don't let them take the money.
Right.
Yeah. Jonathan,
but when you have this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
When you have this discussion, you say, well, these are the legitimate electors. It's, oh, but they were signed by the governor. Yeah, but it's, the governor isn't the, who the Constitution puts the power in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people will have an answer which is uninformed. And then when you explain to them, you say, yeah, but that's not what our Constitution says.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people will refuse
people
to go
are,
read the Constitution.
People are still on the rejections by the courts, which was really good objections. It was throwing it back to the states, back to the people.
Yep. Okay, we're done, guys.
Good point.
Thanks for – yeah, it's an
all
excellent
right,
point. Thanks for a great show. But if anybody wants information, just send them this show. Share this show. Share the fact that the Trump electors are the genuine ones. The Brandon ones are the fraud ones. They were there because of criminal action. And criminals cannot be viable electors in our process. Greg Pengels for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our legislative site is writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws, and we'll be back tomorrow morning doing this once again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific, and the rest of the world, you got to figure it out.